another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Big Old Brian.
Huh? Had to, ran into a traffic snarl on the way to work today. I don't allow myself too much extra time to get to work.
That's true.
Quick piece of advice, everybody. When you leave the house, you're on the clock. That's the way it works. Whether it takes 10 minutes to get to work or 10 hours to get to work, if that's your day, that's your day. Door to door.
If people say I was late because of traffic, I say, you live in L.A. Make time.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
I know.
Well, we're on time.
That's why I drive a motorcycle.
Let's say to it, I used to say it this way when I used to work on Loveline. Loveline was only 2 hours a night. I would get there between 30 and 70 seconds before the show started on a nightly basis. It's easier to time the traffic at night and early in the morning. People would say, like, well, shouldn't you get there by, like, 9:45?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, if I got there at 9:45, then every 8 work days, it'd be like working one free day.
Hmm.
That's the way I looked at it.
Wow.
Well, you only work a 2 hour day. You get to work a half hour early or 15 minutes early, but let's just say it starts at 10 o'clock and I got there at 9:30. Every 4 of those days, it's like working a 5th day free.
I didn't say, oh, wow, I disagree. I say, oh, wow, never would have thought of it. I'm never doing it again. Oh, I never did it in the first place. I'm lying.
Yeah, so I would always show up. And, you know, after about 10 years, it starts to add up. I'm the same way, like I've said, with the airport. Get to the airport just moments before the plane leaves. If you get to the airport an hour or an hour and a half early, about every 5 flights, it's like missing a flight. If you think about it, you're either sitting around the airport or you're not. When you miss a flight, you sit around the airport. When you show up for your last 5 flights 2 hours early, you sit around the airport. It's just one time you're sitting around waiting for the next plane, and the other time you're sitting around waiting for your plane. Either way, when your life is tallied, when you're 70 whatever years old, you're lying on your deathbed, X amount of airport hours sitting around. They don't have a box for sitting around too early versus sitting around miss my flight. It's just how many hours did you spend sitting around an airport?
Yes, I would say there is a slight qualitative difference.
Yes.
Because when you're running late, at least me, I get very agita.
Me too.
I agree. I'm the same way.
But you may have solved some of the world's major problems right now without even knowing it.
Hmm.
Obesity in America, probably one of the worst problems, right?
Right.
Arrive late, as in 2 hours after your restaurant closed.
Mm-hmm.
Miss a meal.
Arrive after the restaurant.
Yeah. Arrive after your family's eaten.
I thought you were going to go with run through the airport.
No, I thought you were too. But, you know, here's the problem with the arrive after the restaurant closes. They've combated that because Taco Bell's come up with a fourth meal. It's a meal between like 2 a.m. and 3 p.m., 3 a.m. when you're drunk. Have you heard about Taco Bell's fourth meal campaign?
No.
They're running the hell out of it. It's the all-night meal. It's the club is closed. I'm drunk. I got the munchies. I'm going to go. Yeah, Potter drunk fest. But either way, Taco Bell had a whole thing, which is the fourth meal. Bald Brian, you know what I'm talking about, right? It was a big campaign. In a way, there should be a class action lawsuit, just like there should have been one against Coca-Cola when they came out with their Coke for Breakfast campaign about 15 years ago. Taco Bell's taking it to a new level. They're not just saying, hey, man, if you're drunk or stoned and it's 2:30 in the morning and the club's emptying out in the street and you got a hankering for a chalada, you come on over, or chihuahua or whatever the hell,
Chalupa?
Bell beef or whatever the hell we've invented. I'm dating myself. The point is it's now a mandate. It's a fourth meal.
Right.
We've added a meal. Move over, brunch. That's a half meal.
Yeah.
That's 3.5 meals. This is and it's only on Sunday. This is a official fourth meal. But the point is if you miss the restaurant these days, there are plenty of drive-thrus you'll pass on the way home that are open till 2 a.m. And I'm not really for, I'm not really for the state getting involved with these things or government getting involved with these things. But when you see that Hardee's has put out a breakfast burrito where they actually just put a tortilla around a pig. They actually take a live pig and wrap it in a tortilla and just push it right through. It's squealing.
No, you hold
the manager and she's cold.
You hold it by the snout.
Yes.
You know, keep it in your hand.
You push it right through the drive-thru. No, they've come out with a breakfast burrito that has 990 calories or something like that.
Right.
And 90 grams of fat. It's really like a Simpsons episode. It's like it has eggs and bacon, Canadian bacon, sausage, and it just keeps going. And then it has hash browns in it. And then they finish it off with gravy, which, by the way, I dig all most of the food stuff and most of the bad food and all. It's all fine. But the gravy at the fast food level, I part ways. I don't want gravy on my breakfast burrito. A, you're just rubbing it in now. You're just trying to get to 1,000 calories. And B, do you ever eat Mexican food and go, hey, man, where's the white gravy?
Yeah.
Hey, senior. Senorita, I'm trying to enjoy myself a margarita over here and some huevos rancheros and chips and tortillas. Where is the white gravy? And she would be like, hey, El Dico, it doesn't exist. We don't own it. It's not in our country. We don't have gravy. We have something called salsa. But anyway, there's a 1,000-calorie burrito that's out there.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get it from Hardee's. And if Hardee's has a drive-thru that's open at 2 a.m., well, that means plenty of super stupid Americans can drive through a Hardee's at 2 a.m. and eat a burrito. Now, if you can charge $5 for a pack of smokes
and you can,
and $3 of it is just taxes, and it's really just those sort of sin taxes,
right.
Like, hey, man, people are dying of smoking, so we're going to charge you. How about a couple bucks on that burrito?
Yeah, it's got bacon, sausage, and ham.
And how about... Oh, the pig union must be very upset about this. three kinds of us in this burrito. But seriously, if you can do that thing on booze and you can do that thing on cigarettes and it's a vice tax and we want to discourage people from eating this and
why?
B, it's bad. Well, we want to discourage, I should say, the vice tax is people go, wow, you want to just add another $2 to a pack of cigarettes? And someone goes, well, we don't want people to buy them. And then everyone goes, oh, okay. And then they add $2 to the price of a pack of cigarettes, and everyone still buys them. And then they go, you want to add another dollar to a pack of cigarettes? And someone goes, well, what about health care? What about all the health issues around cigarettes? And then someone goes, well, all right. And then they add it. Couldn't you kind of make the same argument for an 11-pound burrito?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could make, but you could make that argument for a lot of things.
Right.
I want so little government in my life.
I'm with you.
I really do, and I don't want them to regulate what I eat. I don't want them to regulate what I put in my body, but I do feel that I can fight both sides of that argument reasonably well.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't want you, or in this case me, but for the argument's sakes, I also don't want you to pay for my voluntary lung cancer one day.
Well,
that doesn't seem fair.
I never, it's a 920-calorie burrito. It's the Hardee's country breakfast burrito, but listen, there's no country. NASCAR and burritos don't mix. If burritos are south of the border, you can't just call it country and put a bunch of, it has white gravy on it.
People are rednecks.
Which to me, like, I dig the eggs and the sausage and the tortillas and the whole thing, and then you put the country gravy on there, and now you have country crap. But here's, I agree with you, Danny. Here's what I don't understand. No one's really been able to explain it to me. They talk about how much it costs. How much cigarettes cost the healthcare industry?
Right.
I will just give you some anecdotal evidence that I'm aware of. My grandfather, God bless him, Laszlo Gorog from Hungary, not by blood, but a great man and the only grandfather I've ever known. I never knew the one on my dad's side, and I never knew either one of my biological grandfathers. He smoked when he was probably in his 60s. He had a massive heart attack, I guess about 68, 69, something like that. And the doctor said, if you don't quit smoking, you're going to have another massive heart attack. You're not going to see 70. So he quit smoking. And then he made it to about 90. I guess he made it to like 93, 94 years of age. The last 5 to 10 years of his life must have cost the American taxpayer $7 million.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
He had a million procedures done. It was Kaiser Permanente, back and forth and back and forth. Had an aneurysm that had to be worked on. But it's just, look, when you get older, you start breaking down.
Yeah.
The whole thing about the human body and automobiles, almost exactly analogous. Take care of it.
Right.
Change your oil. Park it in the garage. Whatever. Keep airing the tires. And the car will run pretty good. Unless you get a lemon. Some people are just lemons. They just have a heart attack when they're 40 and die. But take care of it. But as the car gets older and the car starts to get mileage on it, no, even if you did take care of it, it starts breaking down. And it's constantly back and forth to the mechanics.
Right. There's a point in your ownership of the car where you're throwing good after bad. It's over.
Yeah. Car gets 250,000 miles on it. Even if you took care of it, it's one thing after the next. Well, the human body, after about 80, 85, especially, starts breaking down. And it doesn't always get into a head-on collision.
You're an optimist.
It's just back and forth and back and forth to the mechanic. Now, that's all my grandfather did. It literally was hundreds of thousands. Of course, we didn't pay it. He just had insurance because of my grandmother working at the Veterans Administration. But whatever the hell she paid in, he took 20 times that out because the woman made $30,000 a year and worked for 30 years. He had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of care. And then eventually he died. If he'd had a massive heart attack when he was 70, he wouldn't have cost that much.
You make a good point. So you think of a heart attack as expensive, but it might be cheaper.
It's cheaper if it kills you.
If it kills you, yeah.
And thirdly, look, we're all, God willing, we all go well into our 80s, but it gets expensive.
I'm done at 70.
Okay, we all go into our 70, but for you, that's 41 years away, baby.
I know. For the, so far away.
For the last 2 years, it's been 41 years away. Look, it costs money as you get older and as you break down. Lung cancer is deadly, but it's pretty fast. And you go pretty fast.
I was surprised because I checked into that.
And most people checked into it.
Well, that's the way I figure I'm going, man. People stopped shooting at me a while ago. And I stopped taking drugs that I believe could kill you fairly easily 20 years ago. So I figure now I'm going to live, which I had not made any plans for.
Right.
You know, I had no plans for surviving 30, 35 years old. So now I think about that as like a really bad thing. I figured the bullet, the car, the drug dealer, the drug, none of it was going to hurt. I was just going to go to sleep.
You'd probably be high at the time.
That was an impression.
Sound of the car?
I'd probably be high at the time.
You wouldn't even know it.
Or getting robbed by the bad drug dealer, but at least running it in terrible fear, and that's still something interesting rather than pain.
You'd be sobering up in hell.
Right. But that's what I had planned for.
Right.
I'm 48 years old. The stuff I have done to myself has got to make this a lingering, horrifying death that's coming. And well, they made no plans for
they
it.
They say lung cancer's pretty fast.
Yes, I checked into it.
And then they also say, like, there's not much they can do about it. So I don't know how much it costs. But again, this thing where people die at 63 as opposed to 93 and avoid the last 10 very expensive years of your life. I mean, as far as medical bills go, 0 to 10, you have some. And then from 10 on, you might not cost 50 cents until you're 70. And then you make it to 70 or 75. And then it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's just back and forth and back and forth. Hang out. I saw it with my grandmother and I saw it with my grandfather. My grandmother's going through it now. It's just, she's 93 years old. There's nothing on her that doesn't need looking after or fixing on an almost daily basis. It's I need the medication. I need the special shoes. I have to have a person, there's an organization that helps out seniors and a person comes 3 days a week. You just have a massive heart attack at 70. You're off the books.
Have some bacon and ham, sponsored by Kaiser.
You know what? Hardee's ought to take that country breakfast burrito and put a cigarette at the end of it. then you just grab, bust the filter off,
right.
which is made of ham,
right?
And you just suck on that thing. You smoke a cigarette. That's what I'd like you to do, Bonaducci.
That smoke flavors the bacon.
Smoky bacon.
Smoky bacon country burrito wrapped.
Smoky bacon country burrito.
Wrapped in an asbestos wrapper that you don't discard.
You find me a way to smoke in this room without ever having to get up and go outside, I will live here for the rest of my life.
I feel like that's our country in a nutshell. Cigarette, smoking it through the country bacon, Hardee's burrito. Then once the nicotine's been absorbed into the 920-calorie burrito, you down that. You wash it. Put the whole thing back with either Mountain Dew or Sunny D. Or, third one, Pepsi Extreme. Whatever the Pepsi is that now has the caffeine in it.
Oh, yeah.
Pepsi Max. By the way, we're not effed out on the Max thing yet, putting Max with two X's behind every razor and every energy drink.
It's hilarious. There's an extra X.
Right. You know how we're laughing at all the people from the 90s who put Stealth behind everything they made, every right. cologne, every razor? Our kids are going to be laughing at us by putting Max with two X's. Actually, either we drop it or we add a third X. That's what I'm saying with
That's
the Max.
That's a porno drink.
Pepsi Max. All right.
By the way, the X's that make it Max, there are most hardcore drugs eventually just even out. They make you okay. They don't make you high anymore. Mm-hmm. They make you not sick.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens to the wuss stuff in energy drinks?
What do you mean?
Get used to it.
Oh, you even
it stops,
out.
It stops having its function. It's a soda after
a while.
Well,
it's an interesting point. We'll hit it quick, which is, your body is constantly trying to even itself out. Mm-hmm. It's constantly attempting to regulate, and we're constantly attempting to knock it off whatever it's on. So it's like your body's job is to walk down this balance beam and just steady itself and walk right across the balance beam, and we keep pushing it. We hit it with caffeine. We hit it with nicotine. We hit it with alcohol. We hit it with prescription drugs. We keep knocking it around, and what it tries to do is get its balance back. When you get loaded, even though you're getting drunk, your body's sort of trying to right itself. It's just at a certain point, you've overpowered it with alcohol, and it can't really right itself. When you hit it with downers or uppers or anything, it's always sort of fighting against it and attempting to right itself. And if you drink 70 ounces of energy drink every night before you go to bed, your body eventually will be able to sleep on the energy drink because it's constantly attempting to sort of fight you.
Are you kidding? I can do an 8-ball in one big line and then pass out.
There's no, I would like to see that, and B, there's no doubt in my mind. We will, you know what? If you're going to do it, snort it through the country breakfast burrito with the cigarette sticking out of it.
Come out.
We need to take ourselves a break. Marshall Faulk, one of the cutest, yet one of the best players in the NFL. Well, he's retired now, but played running back for my beloved Rams, number 28, taking them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. My beloved Rams when they were here, or still your beloved Rams?
Beloved Rams when they moved. He just won the Super Bowl. Well, it was 2000, I think they won, and then they lost in 01, or maybe they won 99 season. It's tough because the season is 99, but the Super Bowl's 2000. But I think he won 2000, and then they lost to the scourge of the league, the Patriots, the year after that. But anyway, one of the greatest, definitely heading for the Hall of Fame, Marshall Faulk. He's going to be on next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Corner, handoff, Marshall Faulk gets across the line of scrimmage, and then some more. Breaks a tackle at the 25, to the 20, heading to the outside. To the 10, to the 5, touchdown Rams!
And now the 2000 NFL MVP, running back for the Super Bowl 34 championship St. Louis Rams, Marshall Faulk, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Getting Marshall on the phone. Had a little snafu with his people, but while we're doing that, I'll just blow a little hot wind in the direction of Mr. Faulk. Well, first, actually, I'm not done with this Hardee's breakfast burrito. Who puts white gravy on a breakfast burrito, and how white does your trash need to be to think that's a good idea? And I was thinking about it during the break. There's a place for white gravy, country fried steak, biscuits, things like that. Right. Yeah, I guess. Even though I think of that, I think of brown gravy on mashed potatoes. But either way, but let's break down the items on the Hardee's Country Breakfast Burrito. Eggs. Nope, you wouldn't put... See, here's the thing. You wouldn't put white gravy independently on any of the ingredients in the burrito. Why would you put white gravy in the burrito? You wouldn't put white gravy with eggs. You wouldn't put white gravy with bacon or sausage or diced ham. I mean, unless you were just trying to gross out your roommate or something. Cheddar cheese? Nope.
No.
Nobody says white gravy and cheddar cheese. And hash browns? Maybe, but I've never... looked at a menu and saw something that said white gravy and hash browns. Sausage? Nope. And then the last ingredient is the tortilla.
No.
None of the 19 ingredients would you ever eat independently with white gravy. Why is there white gravy on this breakfast burrito? And white gravy does not exist in the land that invented the burrito.
True enough.
Although... if we wanted to slow down illegal immigration, we could introduce white gravy into the culture and kill them off.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It'd be like...
they'd refuse to eat?
Be like smallpox or something. It'd be like some strain.
But in this case, tortillas?
It would
smallpox.
We'd take tortillas and infuse them with white gravy. Maybe this is just the plot to slow down illegal immigration. It wouldn't kill them immediately. The next generation
it would
or
kill
two.
Their spirit.
Yeah,
first.
They're bordering on morbidly obese as it is. This would put them into the ground. Everyone would be too fat to climb over a fence or tunnel under anything, and everyone would just drown in the Rio Grande.
Yeah, truly fat people, by the way, having been one myself, don't even attempt the fence anymore. There's a day where you climb the fence and you can do it. Then there's a day that you can climb the fence, but you don't quite make it. Right. And then there's a day where you go, dude. There's no way I can climb that fence.
That's what we want.
It just happens.
That's right. We got the fence running over there along the border. I'm saying this is 40, 50 years from now after the white man has introduced his
doesn't work.
White gravy.
Doesn't work.
You haven't heard it out. You haven't heard me out.
I'm sorry. I didn't know there was more.
They run toward the food. We introduced the white gravy.
Right.
They gobble it up. We get them hooked on white gravy. You know,
it doesn't take long.
Like what the Republicans did with the brothers in South Central,
with
except
crack.
For they did it with crack. We do it with white gravy. That's our crack. Next thing you know, 40, 50 years from now, the guy's making the run for the fence, and he just stops. And it's like, we could go 20, 30 miles before we see a gravy stand.
I've been love gravy.
And at the gravy stand, they just ladle it into a cup and you drink it.
Yeah.
No food even.
Well,
just
I do
gravy.
That thing where I cut my hands and I go, and then I take a cup and I dump it behind my neck when I'm trying to cool off out in the hot sun.
But what happens if you can't get to gravy? What kind of withdrawal? I mean, do you get DTs?
You get DTs, yeah. You go to the grave. That's why they call it gravy.
That's why they call it gravy.
The boneyard is very gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
But then imagine the stories where they're like, in America, I hear the streets are flooded with white gravy.
They used to be paved with gold, but we did away with that.
They're gold, but you must dig away the white gravy in order to find it.
There are fountains of gravy in the nice homes.
I hear tales of men drowning there in white gravy.
That can't be right.
They say, white gravy.
They
say
like,
very passionately.
Like
yeah, like the guy from the Dos Equis commercial.
Are you ready for the small hole in your theory?
Mm.
There's no such animal as chop suey in China.
Hmm.
We made it up. It was our white gravy for the Chinese.
Right. But what's wrong with that?
There's billions and billions and billions of them. Nobody slows down from it.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Huh? Oh, you mean the chop suey.
If we had introduced the white gravy that does not belong to a culture,
mm-hmm.
isn't that the same as chop suey, which we tried to introduce into a culture where it does not belong?
But now, chop suey is comprised of what?
It's essentially lo mein, and I don't think they thought the Americans would dig the name or something.
Uh-huh.
It's noodles with some cabbage. But there's
some nutritional value in that. This gravy will stop a man faster than a bullet.
That whole thing's gnarly.
Yeah.
You could club someone to death before you close their arteries down.
Well, I got a note handed me here that says Marshall Faulk is not waking up.
Oh, really?
I probably...
Did he have some gravy?
I probably did it by blowing sunshine up him. On the other hand, Danny could go pick up one of these breakfast burritos.
At Hardee's?
Well, here's the question. Carl's Jr. out here, I think, is the same as the Hardee's over there, or so I'm told. And it sounds familiar. Now, I don't know what time the Hardee's or what time the Carl's Jr. opens up, but it's called a breakfast burrito. Yeah. On the other hand, Danny couldn't transport this behemoth on a motorcycle. We're going to have to get a trailer or a flatbed truck.
I have a car with me.
You have a car?
Ooh.
I don't have the keys for an hour and a half.
Oh.
Oh. While you're there, I just read that Hardee's also sells an 1,100-calorie salad. Can you pick me up one of those?
That's the thing. I always have one of my girlfriends at some point in my life is always on a diet. And they say, first of all, you know what women do? They just put the word just before whatever they have. And then they assume they're on a diet.
Right. I'll just have
that entire pie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just have the chocolate sprinkles. Like, babe, just doesn't take 900 calories out of that thing.
Well, let me ask you this gender-based food question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to speak for all men. Do you ever get too full to have sex? Like,
yes.
You get too full,
yes.
And you don't want anyone to touch you.
You'll love this. Wow. I think you'll appreciate this. I was at the brand new condo, which has nothing in it. There's nothing. There's no furniture or anything. There's bathrooms and then floor. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy said, we had just come from dinner, and Amy said, you want to break in the new condo? And I thought, how do you say no to a 25-year-old girl who's offering you sex when I was so full?
Yeah.
And I finally manned up, and I looked at her, and I said, no. I mean, I'd love to, and it's a really cool idea, and thank you for offering, but I'm just too full to have sex with you. And she put her hands on her stomach and said, thank God, me too.
Yeah.
Both of us, too full to do it.
I thought this was women only. This is reassuring.
No, it happens in nature. Like, when you see this real interesting footage once in a while, like a big blue whale will die at sea. And sharks will go into like a feeding frenzy where they literally are eating, you know, hundreds of pounds of whale blubber. And they just eat and eat and eat. And they gorge themselves. And then they get super lethargic and super docile. And they just kind of start floating around. I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's as simple as every part of your body is working right. Overtime trying to break down a 40-pound burrito that's now in your gullet. Either way, somehow the blood is all in your belly and your brain goes, hey, blood, I need a little in the Pepe. And the blood goes, no can do. I'm trying to get this Hardee's burrito broken down. And the brain goes, yeah, but I'm horny. And the blood goes, I'm not going to the Pepe. I got at least 3 hours. And brain, it's your fault for telling the mouth to shove this 40-pound burrito in it.
Is that right for you, too? You're still horny. You're just too full to do it.
No, this happened last night. I was eating this veggie roll, and I had half, and I was full. And I thought, don't eat the other half.
Yeah.
You don't have to eat the other half.
I'm too full for my half of veggie roll. Can I just hit her? Will you swear I didn't do it on the top?
I will.
So I knew I shouldn't finish it because I could feel I was already full, but it was so good and it was taunting me. I thought, just a couple more bites. I got too full.
I'm sorry.
But it wasn't just that I was tired. It was like, I feel kind of fat. And I thought, there's no way I could actually be fat from just eating half a sandwich, a roll more.
Yes.
But my mind was telling me, you're too fat now. Don't let anyone touch it.
I was eating a lettuce wrap the other day, and I had about 3 or 4 bites, and I said, you know, I'm just starting to feel too tall. What am I, about 6'4" now?
Yeah.
If I eat the other half of this, I'm going to be playing for the NBA. I can't possibly have any more.
I had one oyster cracker and some tap water, and I said, I've done too much.
It was a huge veggie roll. It was cheesy.
Cheesy veggie roll.
Yeah, Swiss cheese.
Hey, Mike.
White gravy on it?
Sure. Mike, you're in jail?
No. Well, probably later today. I don't know. It's up to the judge in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I just called up today because I felt like I neglect Teresa when I call in with my psychotic rantings.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's
Teresa,
okay
have you
with
considered
it.
Being the president of the United States?
Thank you. I think I might have a few too many skeletons in my closet.
This is damn exciting stuff.
Perhaps more than that cocaine addicted, learning disabled cowboy. I mean. Really,
the
lowering the bar every day.
Oh, Justin, you're talking about Bonaducci. You're talking about Bush. Yeah. I can't, Mike?
Yes?
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Like I've said, I can't wait for a new president just so we can stop beating up the old president.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the president of my country. And it's kind of weird. Like, it's sort of one of those things where your dad's your dad, and your dad will always be your dad, and you can kind of say bad things about your dad, but then when everyone else starts saying bad things about your dad, it kind of bums you out.
Hell yeah.
And the president of the country I live in is sort of like dad. And when everyone else is making fun of him, it's always like I saw Vicente Fox, who did evidently has done a wonderful job over there in Mexico because everything's working just fine.
No problems
over there.
Trains run on time.
He's up there with, you go to Mexico and like, hey, do the trains run on time? And they go, what's a train?
It's
an awesome place. But Bill Maher had him on. And, of course, Bill Maher was digging into Bush and Vicente Fox was digging into Bush. And Vicente Fox was like basically calling Bush a puss. They were making fun of him. They were like, he came over to my ranch and I raised horses. And I asked him if he wanted to ride the horse. And he said, no, thank you. I'll sit in the car. And everyone started like laughing. And
don't mess with Texas.
Basically just sort of cutting him off at the nads.
Right.
And I'm sure he deserves whatever he gets. It was still like weird to have the former president of one of the crappiest countries on the planet having a nice laugh about what a puss our
I'm with you 1,000%.
Our guy was. And after coming on to 8 years of it, I've just had enough. It just put Hillary Clinton in there and let's make fun of her
for a while.
Or whatever, whatever it is.
Jokes, whatever it's going to be.
Or put like Barack or let's just here's you know what I want after
Parliament,
after what feels like 1,000 years of white oil guy in there. And look, I don't like the man and I don't like the oil, big oil. And I'm not a Republican and so on and so forth. But after just 7 or 8 years of just making fun of Whitey and Rich Whitey and stuff, I'm just dying. I just want like a black woman in there. And I just want to hear, it's like, I want a Bill Maher, just shut up. Just shut up.
Yeah.
Just find some minority. I want a Democrat who's a lesbian, who's a woman of color, just in there. And we can all just like, just all the left, it's not just a chorus of whining and complaining. We'll all either shut up or they'll go after one of their own.
RuPaul for president.
Put RuPaul in there and let's just all. And the good news is there'll at least be a moment of silence when the first woman or the first man of color or whatever, they'll at least people back off for just like 4 months. There'll be like 4 months of just, well, we can't really say anything about a black guy or about a woman. People think it's racially driven or misogynistic or whatever it is. Just the whining left. And maybe it's just because we live in Hollywood and Los Angeles and we're surrounded by it, but it's just the last just what feels like 5 years of just belly aching. I've had enough and it's bringing me down. I'm not a big fan of Bush, but I am a big fan of this country. And when you say the guy who's holds the highest office in this country, when you never stop belly aching about him, well, you're sort of belly aching about your country, too.
Yeah, well,
it's hard not to do both. And they always do that thing where they go, I love my country. I support the troops. George Bush needs to be assassinated because he's an imbecile. And then it's
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
It's too much. I'm at my saturation level.
I consider myself, even though I was a very bad guy for a very long time, I consider myself a very proud American. I even have a little medal that a civilian group of the government sent us, sent me for that thing you saw on YouTube or whatever it was with that guy. I got a plaque. You know, with the president's seal on it for that and stuff. I'm very proud to be an American. And doing so, you have to protect the First Amendment, especially when you hate it. That's what's hard. I do have limits to my fine American. And that is making fun of your president, which is fine to do, but not on foreign soil. You don't go over to France and trash the president.
The other is you don't
invite another leader from another country to your country and let him make jokes about your president. Now, how Vicente Fox says, he's such a puss, he stayed in the car. How about I come down there to your farm and I beat your ass?
Yeah.
Do I get to be president? Because I'm not a puss?
Is
that what you want, a president who's not a puss? I'll come down there and beat you in the face with one of your own horses, and then do I get to be president because I'm not a puss?
Yeah, the dad thinks a good analogy. Yeah.
I couldn't think anything because I had another tool in mind, but it was so cruel I didn't think it would be funny.
I'm telling you, on Bill Maher's show, I want to call it PI, but whatever it is now, you know what I'm talking about. Can't think of the name of it, but anyway.
Real Time
real,
or something?
Yeah. On Bill Maher's show, he had Vicente Fox on that show, and they didn't just make fun of Bush about, you know, foreign policy or Iraq or anything
They
went into what a puss he was. And Vicente Fox called him a, Windshield cowboy. He's a cowboy who didn't want to get out of his truck. He'd like to sit there and look at the horses, and he wasn't man enough to ride the horse, and he said the Secret Service wouldn't. They all had a big laugh. I mean, it's like they really called the guy a puss, and they just beat him up, and I thought, this is coming from a guy who was the leader of one of the crappiest countries on the planet. I mean, they're worse countries, but a lot of countries have a lot of problems that are sort of inherent and indigenous. They have all the land, they have all the resources, they have all the stuff that you could use to make a good country. As a matter of fact, the only difference between this part of our country and that part of their country is an arbitrary stripe in the sand.
Right. Absolutely.
Hey, Vicente Fox, if that stripe in the sand that runs along the border between San Diego and Tijuana, if we had put that in Pasadena and you'd been over in Glendale, Glendale would suck.
Right.
Do you understand? It's an arbitrary stripe that you guys have managed to F up on your side. How about you shut your cake hole? And maybe if you spent a little less time riding your horse, you'd have a little better place for your folks to live, and they wouldn't all have to flee to the side of the country that's run by the puss that doesn't want to ride the horse. I just can't take it anymore. Everyone gets on me like, stop defending Bush or apologizing for Bush. I'm not. It's this country. I'm tired of us beating us up. Get Bush out of there, get someone else in there, and give me just a few months to breathe, and then we'll start making fun of Clinton or Barack Obama or whoever we get in there next.
By the way, I won't apologize for Bush, even though I do think he has made mistakes, but I think he's done the best he could do under the circumstances. I think it was, he got misled. It's not like he's the president by himself. It's not like we all leave the room and Adam is completely responsible for everything that happens. We do a regular morning show where he has to do the news, traffic, weather, all that stuff. But nobody gives him any information. Or we come in and lie to him because it's dark in here. And I come in and go, it's 82 out.
I leave
and he gives false information. Now, he's the idiot? No, he's just the guy who's been lied to. I don't think Bush is any kind of genius, but I don't think he's the devil either that invades countries just for fun.
Strategery. Right.
He's not going to be able to bite her tongue much longer. We need to take ourselves a break. No, listen.
I agree with your points. I don't like other leaders making fun of our dad.
I don't mean that point. I mean Danny's point. Here's all I'm saying.
They doesn't invade countries just for fun.
I'm just saying I've had enough of us making fun of us. That's all. And unfortunately, our president is us. So when we're talking about how stupid he is or what a criminal he is or how uneducated he is, we're just sort of saying us, or at least half or marginally more than half of us that voted him in. When I say us, I don't mean me. I just mean us as a nation.
I'm not a big fan of Bush.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll change some gears. I got some clips from Extra. Good show, good stuff. We'll dig into that next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. Here's program director Jack Silver with a look at this morning's show.
Sup, G! Today, another chance for you to score some free passes to Blotto in the Grotto 2 at the Playboy Mansion. Comedian and talk show host Chelsea Handler. The creators of the Comedy Central show Drawn Together. And we'll talk to a World War II veteran who's auctioning off Hitler's Globe. Hey, Hitler's Globe. Good name for DSV. It's old, bumpy, was once used in a plot to take over the world, and smells like sauerkraut. Wait.
Thanks, Holmes. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, switching gears, I was watching Extra. Although now I have to watch Sesame Street and Elmo because the kids won't. I used to eat dinner and I'd watch those Extra and all those TV shows. And I'd just eat my dinner and get caught up on the gossip of the day. But the kids who sit next to me eating the dinner, they don't want to eat. Pat O'Brien evidently scares them.
Really?
Yes. They don't like Pat O'Brien. Maybe they're allergic to Grecian formula. I don't know what's going on. Kids are intuitive. They know evil.
I was loaded out of my mind.
Kids and dogs know that.
Kind of. Laura Spencer scares me a little, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Laura. Anyone named Laura instead of Laura. Yeah. They're scared to death. So they start crying when Laura and Pat come on. And I can't get caught up on what the hell J-Lo's baby bump is doing this week. So the wife always does this. So I sit there and I try to eat my meal. My wife tries to feed the kids. The kids either, they don't want to eat. They want to stand up in their high chair and starts walking off the tray onto the ground. And then Molly has her snout tucked into the chair and is pushing the chair around because it has wheels on it. And she's trying to get all the food that the kids aren't eating that's just rolling down their chin. They start crying. I turn the TV up. Pat O'Brien's voice gets louder in their head. They start crying louder. And then my wife turns to me and yells, "We need Elmo." Because the only thing that'll calm the kids down is Elmo.
It really
works. So I hit the TiVo button, go to Sesame Street, and then I sit there and watch Elmo. The kids immediately settle in, and they start eating. And if we can subdue them for a while, I mean, if they can calm them down for about 20 minutes, I can switch it back to access whatever, entertainment, whatever. But I'm already done with my meal at that point. Although I did learn there is a number between 7 and 9. Did you guys know that? For all these years, I've just been going, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. And I learned because there was like, I think the number's called 8. And there's like 8 elephants.
Not only is that true, but 7 is actually terrified of us.
Oh, 7.
Really?
Yeah, because, tell the seven, joke. Because 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Come on, dads maybe in the room, you think? I have a different conundrum. I've got the kids, and I've got the 7, 8, 9. I've got the 30 giraffes and all that stuff. But I unfortunately boned the Cookie Monster. Or whoever.
Right. The right. girl that danced so, in the yeah. show.
So
right.
I never was said it was a girl. I'm open-minded. Mm-hmm. Hey, so when you sit the kids down for family time, you've got a wife, Jessica, just growling through the whole thing.
Well,
that was a good time.
I want to watch my entertainment shows. I cannot. And this Elmo thing, this is heroin for children.
Really
I never
works.
Knew it.
It settles them down. It's narcotic.
My kids say Elmo more than they say Daddy. They love Elmo.
Who do they love more, Olga or Elmo?
Whatever it is, Daddy's a distant. Daddy and Mommy are a distant, distant third to Elmo and Olga the nanny. It goes Elmo, Olga, the nanny, and then a free fall. And then Mommy, Molly, pool man, Daddy.
Right.
That's the order that my kids. Now, they won't settle in. You have to put Sesame Street on, and they have to see Elmo on Sesame Street, and then they settle in, and then they can get fed.
You realize that's arbitrary, though. That's your kids. Other kids pick other things, that they have to see that thing.
Oh, I'm sure. But I do think, judging from the amount of merchandise moved, Elmo's
doing okay.
That's all I can think about. I mean, these kids, I have two kids. They're not even a year and a half old. They are Elmo fanatics. I mean, it's hard to make consumers out of creatures that haven't been on the planet for 18 months.
Right.
And who don't speak or buy their own anything or drive a car. Somehow, Sesame Street has made consumers out of folks that can't make a sentence. We've bought $150 worth of Elmo crap for somebody who's still crapping on themselves.
Right. Exactly true.
It is bizarre, and the mind reels because, you drive around your neighborhood and every 9th family has a BMW 3 Series parked out in the driveway, and you go, wow, BMW's making a few bucks. But there's not a kid I know, or not an adult family I know, that doesn't have a toddler running around, that doesn't have some form of Elmo something floating around the house.
You're not trying to convince me for even a moment, sir, that you only have one Elmo type thing in your house.
Yes, it's at least one for almost every working family in the United States.
I must have 9 Elmo type things in my house.
Elmo, just Elmo, has probably made billions of dollars in the last 10 years, right?
Oh, I thought that was the head homosexual of Mexico.
El Momo!
El Momo!
That's what Vicente Fox was calling Bush.
El Mo.
Right, when I go down there and beat him with a tire chain, then I can be president.
He goes by the name Elmo.
They wouldn't get on his horse.
There's El Toreador, there's El Greco, and there's Elmo.
He likes his Dos Equis out of a blender.
Now, do we just not go down there and kick his ass just because it wouldn't be a fair fight?
Elmo or Vicente Fox?
I'd like to see those two fight. That'd make me laugh.
All right.
But
now
seriously, do we not go and just like do stuff to this guy for coming to my country and saying stuff about my president? Just let him?
I think he's here now if you want to find him. Although,
no,
I don't know.
Get wrestled to the ground by giant Hardee's eating breakfast, beat up burrito guys.
They would not eat those. All right, now where was I? Ah, that's
right.
You're
trying to wake up a football player.
That's right. We were talking about clips. So the first clip I saw on Extra before I had to switch over to Elmo was this one. And T, you thought you were on the only show on TV that had horrible writing?
There's a worse one?
I got news for you. Hmm?
Are Tom and Katie getting serious about baby number two? Yes, according to Us Weekly, Katie says she wants another child, but the celebu couple hasn't decided when.
Okay, first of all, celebu couple.
Celebu
gotta love that.
Couple. Well,
and, of course,
right.
Serious. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Now,
that's not what I heard.
Serious?
Yeah, I heard Siri-us as in plural.
They're talking about...
No, I got the joke. I just got it wrong.
They're talking about the kid Siri.
That's the thing about great writing.
With
it works on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
That's
Aren't Tom and Katie getting Siri-us about...
See, Danny hears one thing. I hear another. And you, it's like any great art.
It's confusing and unfunny on like five different levels.
I don't hear Siri. I hear us. And you hear Siri, like as in with the fringe on the top.
Well, their kid's name.
Yeah, the kid's name is Siri.
I
am never going to get tired of this.
I could not be more proud that I didn't know that that was their kid's name.
I could not feel more like a douchebag that I do know.
I've
never heard a girl say that about herself.
The other piece of scary writing that they do now over on these shows is they take clips from shows and then they tease them like it's something that happened.
Yes.
Like when Rosie had to get all made up for Nip Tuck.
Yeah.
She got pummeled and they'd show a picture of Rosie in her makeup with a fat lip and a black eye and bloodied and go, did Rosie get backed over by a pickup truck? And then they go, no, it's just for a new role and whatever. All right, let's hear the next one.
Vanessa Williams in a designer wedding dress, her ex Rick Fox at the ceremony, and Posh Spice her maid of honor. So is Vanessa really walking down the aisle again? Yes, but only on her hit show, Ugly Betty.
So now they're taking scenarios from shows where people get murdered, right, or married or pregnant. And if somebody gets pregnant, their character gets pregnant,
yeah,
in a daytime drama. Right. Like, is she pregnant? No, that's just... And I thought, you can't do that.
Oh, but you can, sir.
Is Michael J. Fox traveling back in time in a DeLorean?
If you end
with the guy from Taxi? No, that's just in movies, then.
If you end it with a question mark, no matter how small it is, or a scare, like so-and-so's, or scandal, so-and-so's homosexual scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you open up and a guy named Bob from high school says, I think I saw them kiss.
Right.
Or the other one is, I'll just use myself for this one, Danny Bonaducci drinking again would be the statement. But with a question mark on it, it's Danny Bonaducci drinking again? And then they have a picture of me with a Coke in my hand. Of course, literally, the answer is yes. You know what I mean? They can say anything as long as they phrase it legally.
Well, I know legally they can do it. I'm just saying there must be a certain... Well, I wouldn't call them journalists by any stretch of the imagination, but there was a point when they reported what was going on in the entertainment world.
Right.
So the news you'd watch until 7 o'clock and they'd tell you what was going on internationally, and then you'd find out what was going on in Hollywood via these shows. So it was sort of entertainment journalism. Now it's sensationalism. You're actually taking clips from movies and TV shows and things that never happened, and you're trying to turn them into news stories. It's fun. Look, no harm, no foul, and I know everything's legal and everything, but at a certain point, I think we're now sliding down the backside of the mountain. We've gone way... We're just going too far with everything. I don't... See, here's the thing. When they go... See, now they're the boy who cried wolf. When they go, a major celebrity's entered rehab. Next, after the commercial, we'll tell you. And my wife turns to me and goes, I wonder who the major celebrity is. And I said, if you heard the name before, they would have said it. Right. So we'll come back and we'll find out it'll be nobody. And you come back and sure enough, it's a major celebrity, except for it's from a show you never watched 5 years ago and it was on deep cable and no one knows who the person is.
Are you on the side of truth, justice, and the American way because the people from Drawn Together are coming in?
Yes.
Because you really do seem to be on a roll of what's fair and what's not.
Maybe that is. And Drawn Together is, well, I guess it's...
possibly one of the smartest cartoons in the world.
I'll tell you, it's one of the funniest things I've ever been involved with. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. But T?
Yeah?
The news?
A major celebrity entered rehab. I'll tell you when we come back. Nice.
Are you serious?
No. We're going to talk She's about XM. The hard-hitting news of the day, Ellen and her dog.
This keeps getting better. All right, take a break. We'll be back.
In the studio this morning, comedian Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, happy as your penis. I don't want any shrinky-dink surprises on a Saturday night.
Your chance to win tickets to our Blotto in the Grotto Halloween party at the Playboy Mansion. Go to AdamCarolla.com for details. We'll find out which Hollywood blowhards you want Adam's pterodactyl to pick up and drop in a volcano. And welcome the co-creators of Comedy Central's Drawn Together. Adam Carolla with Danny Bonaduce and Teresa Strasser on The Adam Carolla Show.
Beautiful Chelsea Handler out there in the hall. We'll bring her in.
I didn't see her.
She's right out in the kitchen there. We'll say hi to her in a few minutes. But first, Teresa in the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Ellen DeGeneres says she is not going to talk about Iggy the dog anymore. She says she's given her final statement about the dog until she gets Iggy back.
Well, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, me either.
I know you were a regular viewer of Ellen.
Matter of fact, I've given my last statement on Iggy Pop.
That's right.
Just, I'm all down with not being Iggy with it.
She's, well, otherwise it's just her dancing and having a kind of slobber fest with her audience and then interviewing Justin Timberlake. I don't want to see that. I want to see her break down over nothing.
It was pretty entertaining.
It was.
Well, as you, of course, know, she adopted Iggy from a pet rescue agency called Mutts and Moms. She gave it to her hairdresser's family when it didn't get along with her cats. But Mutts and Moms has a rule about not giving small dogs to families with children under the age of 14 because the kids might be too rough with the little dogs.
Yes, they also have rules about being involved in heterosexual relationships and loving human beings. They have a lot of rules about human beings. See, that's what I like. People that love pets, not so fond of people. And Ellen is going up against a group that loves pets.
Right.
You do the not so fond of people math.
She likes her hairdresser. I want them to have a nice dog. The people that like the dogs said, we don't care about people and your 14-year-old kid is crying.
Right.
Well, Ellen says that the next time you hear about Iggy is going to be when she gets the dog back and trots it out on her show. Yesterday, she did have some advice for people who adopt dogs.
And when you donate money or when you buy a dog, put a chip in it and make sure your name is on it. Because what happened was when I got the dog, I was told my name was going to be added to the chip. And because they never added my name to the chip, when they scanned it, my name was not on it. And they won't give it back to me because my name wasn't on the chip. Even though I have been taking care of the dog for a month, feeding it, neutering it. I didn't neuter it more than once. That'd be horrible. What kind of person would I be? Neuter it again! Anyway, so make sure your name is on the chip. Don't just assume, because 6 years later, somebody can come by and scan it and go, that's my name, that's my dog's.
Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen.
Do you want to hear from the attorney for Mutts and Moms?
Oh, my
yes.
God.
Things have turned very ugly.
Look, as I've said, we can complain all we like. This is a great sign for our country. They don't have these problems in Africa and Mexico and South America, Central America especially. They have real problems.
Right.
They don't have mutts that don't have updated computer chips in their shoulders. They have lap dogs. Could you imagine you're just sitting around and you're just in Darfur and you turn the news on. Oh, we've got problems. The blonde lesbian chick, her lap dog doesn't have an up-to-date computer chip.
Sorry.
I love this kind of news because it means we officially have no problems. We've conquered every disease. There's no warring tribes. There's nobody being dragged down the street. There's nobody with burning tires put around them. The prisons are relatively clean and safe.
And empty, almost.
And we have no more problems.
By the way, a little misnomer, I think, on the chip thing. I think most people believe the chip will help you locate the dog.
Mm-mm.
That's not true. If your dog escapes, your dog's gone. If somebody finds the dog, turns it in, then they look at the scan and see who it belongs to. But it's not a GPS or a LoJack.
Right.
Your dog's gone.
Right.
Yeah, it identifies.
And if it gets eaten by coyotes, you're tracking a coyote.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't help you in any way to get the dog back unless they've already, somebody's been a good Samaritan and turned it in.
Ace Corolla Coyote Tracker.
Ooh.
Coming this fall to the WWWB.
It's more fun than you think.
People, we got coyotes out there, and I'm not sleeping until I track them.
Or vice versa.
I'm not tracking them until I get some sleep. Wait a minute. Oh, quiet down, Bonaducci.
Mid-season replacement for Bionic Woman. Coyote Tracker. Now let's hear from the attorney for Mutts and Moms.
They have gotten thousands of emails. Most of them are hate emails, threatening them with lynchings, bombings of their home.
Lynchings.
Lynchings.
And bombings.
Look, first off, I love to see the lesbian on lesbian crime.
Hey, yeah. Where are the white women at?
I don't
at?
Know who's a lesbian and who isn't. I just know once you love a pet over a certain point, you become a lesbian. That's the way it works.
Okay, straight as an arrow right here.
Mm-hmm. Now, and again... As I said to my wife when she announced with disdain from the kitchen, although she calls it the place where they have that firebox.
Right.
I said, she said, I love animals. I'm not a lesbian. I love animals. I'm not nuts. I said, yeah, you love them so much. I knew you for 9 years and then we got Molly. That's the only pet you've ever owned in the 12 years that I've known you. That's not nuts for animals. Everybody likes ideas. It's like kids. Everyone likes kids. Not everyone has kids. Teresa, you like kids. You don't have 14 kids. If you had 14 kids, you'd be nuts.
Right.
Of course everyone likes pets, likes puppy dogs.
Nice.
We just don't collect them like they're pogs. And when you do that, you're a lesbian. That's how it works.
No,
thank
if they
you.
Cleaned up after themselves, didn't poop, and didn't eat food, I'd be very fond of them.
That's right.
Pets or kids?
About kids, yeah.
Either one. Don't care. Don't need the hassle.
Anyway, well, it'd be nice to see how this is settled. And anybody, and I don't imagine we have a lot of crossover audience, but if you wrote a vitriolic email to the...
Mutts and Moms?
Mutts and Moms Corporation, somewhere around 2 in the afternoon from your apartment. It's time
I will lynch you.
Time to take a very good look in the mirror.
Listen, I love animals, but I've always had this rule, people before animals. If Batman moved in and he was allergic to my cats, bye cats.
That's
yes,
right.
Very good.
Thank you. I
have the $2,500 rule, same thing.
You'll spend $2,500.
If my pet is sick, up to $2,500, I'll fix it.
I have the same rule.
At $2,501, bullet to the head.
I am the same thing, except for I use Lycus's $40 rule.
Are you going to adjust for inflation?
No, I
Why
will not.
Why not? Lycus has.
Okay. Now
his belt adjusted for inflation, but he didn't go up on the $40.
Bring on the gravy burrito.
All right.
Now, you know the Leave Britney Alone video from YouTube, Chris Crocker?
Yes.
Well... Take a listen to this.
And how dare anyone out there make that family get rid of Iggy after all she's been through? She was adopted by Ellen, who's a lesbian. She has two cats. And she was with a girl who turned out to be a weirdo and a user and a fake lesbian. And now she's with Portia de Rossi. You just have time for a custody battle. All you people care about is breeders and making money off of her. She's a canine.
Leave Iggy alone.
Okay, can I just say right up until the custody battle, that guy describes my perfect year. So she's dating and sleeping with a hot chick who turns out to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And trades the nutbag in for a way hotter chick. Mm-hmm. It's not like Alan's having a real rough year.
No. I just started thinking everything is now officially pro wrestling, and we're all a bunch of 13-year-olds who are buying into it. I don't think any of this is real anymore.
There is no Iggy?
There's an Iggy, but this guy's just trying to get on YouTube. He's a performance artist, just like
He's doing a parody,
just like the "Don't Tase Me, Bro" guy. We're all just buying into all this crap.
Our own sales guy Chris, I forget what thing we're at. It was just the other day. Was talking to another guy saying, "I bet it's another 2 weeks till Danny and Gretchen get back together. It's just a publicity stunt." And I said, $100,000 right now.
Yeah, people have asked me that.
Yeah.
They actually think you would get a divorce as a publicity stunt. That's ridiculous.
I would.
But this one isn't.
No, because two parties have to agree, and Gretchen would never agree to do anything like that. She's kicking me out because she hates me. That's a pretty good reason.
Joe Francis of Girls Gone Wild fame is currently locked up in a Nevada jail awaiting trial on tax evasion charges. Of course, if he was not in the Nevada clink, he'd probably be in the Florida clink facing
USC grad. Go ahead.
Felony counts of prostitution, conspiracy, and using minors in a sexual performance.
Mm-hmm.
Joe was on Greta Van Susteren giving an interview about his experience in jail. Let's take a listen to Joe Francis.
They would walk me. This is walking me to the shower down the hall, and the inmates were mocking me on both sides, you know, and scream at me, and they weren't in these conditions, and you know, I'd just be crying, and I fell again, and they came and they picked me up, and it was the chaplain. He had been walking in the hallway, and he looks at me, the chaplain of the thing, and he says, "Son, have you thought about Jesus Christ?" And I'm crying, and I look at him, and I go, "Every day, because this is what they did to him."
Well, wow. I can only laugh.
You've seen where he's gone wild, haven't you?
As I've said, as I've said before, I met Joe Francis, or I knew about Joe Francis, long before the Girls Gone Wild tape came out. Now, you can think what you will about Girls Gone Wild, but his original claim to fame and the seed money for Girls Gone Wild and how he got started was showing the snuff films. He obtained footage of people being killed.
Oh, I was smiling. I thought it was something else. I didn't know that.
He had footage of, you know, guys' parachutes not opening. One in particular I remember is just, it was like a surveillance camera, or somebody was just filming it up on the second floor, and it was a woman. It actually was horrible because there was a commuter train and it was passing at 70 miles an hour, and there was a businesswoman, and she must have been in her 30s, and she was with a business guy who must have been in his whatever, and they were dressed in business attire, and they were just commuters going to work somewhere on like Long Island. And the guy screwed the chick up, according to the videotape. The guy started running like, "Come on, we can make it across the tracks before the train comes." And she was to the inside of the guy, and the train was coming from the outside of the guy. So this guy made like five hard steps, like, "Come on, we'll get across the tracks." And at the last second, he went like, "Whoa," and he stopped like, "I'm not going to make it." But she kept going, and she was eviscerated by this commuter train. Now, he sold tapes called, like, Too Hot for Television or Too Whatever for TV. And that's the very first image you would see in the late night commercials. Now, Too Hot for TV. And I always thought the victim's family, the poor woman, they don't own that tape. They're just sitting home watching late night TV.
Right.
Maybe it happened 4 years ago and they've just gotten over it. And pow, there's mama getting cleaned out by the train. Now, they didn't show the impact. On the commercial, you have to buy the tape to see what it physically looked like to see a 7,000-ton locomotive hit a 130-pound woman traveling at 70 miles an hour. But I always thought the guy who made that tape, the guy who sold that tape, and the guy who profited from that tape, there's going to be a corner in hell for that guy, and I hope he gets his comeuppance, and evidently he has.
Well, I was going to ask you about this, although I don't know this person's name, because I was thinking I should call the police. I told you about this. I'm trying to make friends, and I'm going out and being social, and a guy whose house I was at said, "Well, this is something really cool," and there were a couple other people around, and he showed a homemade videotape, and you can hear his voice, and he's operating the camera. And he's branding women with a red hot paper clip with his initials. And they're screaming, please don't. But you can see clearly they're half into it. But I wanted to kill him for, first of all, thinking he could show it to me, that I'd sit through that, mm-hmm. that I'd be impressed with that.
Mm-hmm.
That I, you know, I wouldn't just go to the nearest hot thing and brand him. But what makes guys, why, how could you, A, feel that there's a market for that? What makes you know that much about mankind that there's a market for that? And two, how do you get that filthy as to, A, do that to someone, and B, want to see it?
Well, here's the thing. There is a, I'm now learning, sadly, there's a market for everything that is bizarre, macabre.
And disgusting.
And involves other people being hurt. There is a huge market for other people being either killed or hurt or embarrassed or humiliated. I mean, we all love Brandon on YouTube because we think he's serious when he's having a breakdown about Britney, and we can all point like natives and laugh at it. Makes us feel better about ourselves. There's a huge market for seeing people being killed in horrible ways because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Somehow, I'm more alive now because you're more dead. That's kind of the way it works.
Right.
And that is the way it works. Look, if you walked around Teresa Strasser, who's a beautiful woman, if every single person in her life and every single person she worked with looked like Heidi Klum, she would not look at herself as beautiful. If every single person she worked with and in her life looked like Rachel Dratch from SNL, sorry, Rachel, she's a friend of mine, but she's not a tall, beautiful woman, then Teresa would feel more beautiful. Teresa hasn't changed. It's what's around her. That's changed. When you watch TV and you watch Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, you get unhappy. You're like, wow, look at those guys eating shrimp on beautiful locations, and I'm sitting here in my crappy apartment. And when you see chicks get hit by commuter trains, you go, wow, I got a crappy job, but at least I got a job to go to tomorrow. Right. She's going to see St. Peter. That's her boss.
So when you hear the on the one I had to see, and it was quick, when you hear the skin sizzle and the girl scream, that's what it was, man.
Danny told me off the air he could barely masturbate. It was that bad.
I told
could have been the six
Teresa.
Dudes, could have been the branding. Either way, it took him almost 9 minutes.
I came in the next day and told Teresa, I don't know what to do. It's scarring me. I think about it all the time, especially the girl that was saying, please don't.
Well, unless
I can't remember the guy's name to have him arrested.
Unless the girls were in a black fraternity, there's no excuse. Yes. Bald Brian.
I don't know if this makes Joe Francis better or worse, but in 2001, he was found liable and ordered to pay $3.5 million for infringement on the idea for ban from television, those videos. So it wasn't even his idea. He just profited from it illegally.
And he was, I think, a USC student.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you proud?
The time.
Good times.
Go Trojans. I think his real genius is getting guys to sign up for Girls Gone Wild, which comes to you monthly, and then making it impossible to call and cancel your subscription.
Yeah, he's stolen Columbia Records.
All right. Give us one more news story, and then we'll bring Chelsea Handler in here.
Oh, good. Excited to meet her again. I'll close with this. A major celebrity in rehab. Actually, out of rehab. Mm. Here's a weird one. John Goodman.
Yeah.
In and out of rehab. And none of us even knew because we were all focused on Lindsay Lohan. He gave this...
Same person, if you ask me.
True. He gave this rather vague statement to Entertainment Tonight.
Can he enter any place or do they just have to drop it over him?
They got him in the door using lubricated gravy. Here's a statement. For my family and myself, I voluntarily took the necessary steps to remain sober the rest of my life.
John Goodman.
Yeah.
Which is what? 9 to 12 months? What has he got left on his tires?
It's a good point. But first, Owen Wilson. That was surprising. I had no idea he was had trouble.
I like the quiet pill poppers, boozers, and druggies.
Yeah.
It's nice. They quietly go about their business. They're methodical. They don't brag about it. They don't go bashing into cars and chased down by TMZ cameras. They just sit home and get loaded.
A little bit of Klonopin and a Jameson's.
That's right.
Don't hurt anybody.
That's right.
In stark contrast, Lindsay Lohan, also out of rehab and, being photographed at hot spots, etc. And the talk about her is that while she was in the Cirque Lodge in Utah, she hooked up with this guy, Riley Giles, who apparently, according to his ex, was still engaged at the time. He broke up with her via text message from Inside Rehab, In Touch Weekly reports.
Chivalry is not dead. Yes.
He's saying they were not engaged, by the way.
I see.
It's a rehab romance. They happen all the time.
Yes.
It's the number one rule. You will get kicked out of rehab for sure. No discussion for having sex with another client. if you pass fail a drug test, they might sit you down, talk to you, and extend your stay. But if you have sex with somebody in rehab, you're out.
But there's no better time to try to get laid than when someone's trying to kick something, because when they kick something, they pick something else up.
Right.
It's like you're trying to quit chewing tobacco, so if you're a guy who sells sunflower seeds, business is going to pick up. They're picking something, they're putting something down, and they're picking something up. They're putting down the drugs, and they're picking up your penis.
Right.
Thank you.
Smoking.
The more you know.
I would like to thank them from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, it's like, you know, those guys who do that thing where they're like, they stop doing drugs, but they're doing extreme sports now.
Yeah.
Or they're gambling a lot now. It's like they don't.
Shopping.
It's like you're sort of this weird Rubik's Cube. It never goes away. It just goes to another place and takes on a different form.
Yeah, transfer addictions. I mean, Danny, did you work out this much while you were
near.
Using?
This is totally my new thing. Totally. And right. I didn't drink. At all when I took drugs.
Workout obsessed now. Yeah. Right. So you put down the drugs, but you go boy crazy in rehab.
Unfortunately, I went to that very famous rehab for 40 G's and drank on the way home. Thank you very much for that money well spent.
Bang the bejesus out of Charlie Sheen.
Say there were tens to. Okay, let me put it this way. If Charlie Sheen were there, he'd have been star number 8 on the list.
Really?
The biggest guns in the West happened to be there. Just coming or going as I got there. I was the lowest on the totem pole celebrity guy. So if girls were giving it up to celebrities in rehab, I had to wait my turn.
Sloppy ninths.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, once you've been there about 18 days, you know, sure. Who's going to complain?
Well, speaking of hot girls, Chelsea's here. Can't wait for her to come in. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. CNN.
Chelsea Handler is here. Currently host Chelsea Lately, weeknights on E. Got some comedy dates coming up. We'll talk to the beautiful, funny, and...
Oh, so talented,
but I wanted to say refreshingly honest. Chelsea Handler next.
Okay, one boyfriend at one time without cheating. I had a very serious relationship in the third grade that lasted like 6 to 8 months. It was my teacher, but we were serious.
And now comedian Chelsea Handler on The Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Chelsea Handler.
Oh my God, she's so funny. That was you. I know, I was kidding.
She's a genius.
Chelsea is going to be at the Comedy Festival performing with Jim Brewer. Friday, November 16th at Caesar's Palace in the Palace Showroom.
Is that where it is, at Caesar's Palace?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I'll get to stay there, too.
That chick you heard talking a few moments ago, she's going to be performing there.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
In more ways than one. It's going to be serious.
So, Chelsea, you're hot and you're funny. What's up?
No idea.
How did that work?
I'm a Jew, big Jew.
You're blonde, you're a Jew, you're hot. And you're funny.
Thank you for saying I'm hot. I don't feel specifically hot this morning.
Well, it's early, but
is
I can see.
Is it a morning thing? Do you feel hot like later?
I feel hotter as the afternoon goes on. Yeah, as the sun comes out and I start to get some color in my face. Usually in the morning, I'm still a little wrecked from the night before.
What was your journey to comedy? Where did you start? Where were you from? When did you come out here?
Well, I actually was just talking to Teresa about this. I actually started doing stand-up. Are you going to play soap opera music mm-hmm. while I talk? Thank you. I lost my virginity when I was 14, and from then on, I decided that stand-up comedy and sex went together with alcohol and drugs and the improv on Melrose. Are you familiar with that establishment?
Sure. Have we met? Because that story sounds really familiar to me.
Yeah, I'm telling your story. No, I came out here when I was 19. I wanted to be an actress. And after that went downhill fast and I wasn't getting roles, I was like, what can I do? And I just started doing stand-up. And then it kind of...
Where'd you come out here from?
New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Hotbed.
So you come out at 19. You're a beautiful blonde woman. So you just assume you're going to do sort of leading woman
I just figured
stuff,
I would get
right?
discovered right away by like Woody Allen, even though he's in New York, or somebody else. Leave. In this era, or Danny Bonaducci.
Right.
Somebody like that.
Right to the top.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, there is this feeling that there's some kind of magic, or somehow you're special, or somehow people will recognize you're special. And then after a few years of kicking around, you realize, well, me and everyone else.
That's what.
So I better just do something.
Well, the problem is you come out here. Yeah, exactly. And you think, oh, wow, wait till they see me coming. And then you get out here and you're like, why is everyone cuter and skinnier than me? And then you realize this, you're not, you know, you're a, like a, just a big, instead of being like a big, whore in a little pond in New Jersey. You're just like a big whore in a big whore pond out here.
And now, in this town, you'd consider yourself a big whore? I can see being a big whore in Jersey. It's not that hard.
Right, right. Well, Jersey kind of breeds those. No, I'm not really a hoo-ha anymore. I did that in my 20s. I'm 32 now, so I've kind of calmed down a little, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you've written at least one book about it. I don't know, though. I didn't read the book. I heard famously.
It's a pretty tough read. It takes about an hour and a half.
Mine, too.
You taking a little person home. God bless you for the night. But how about in the book, celebrity guys you've laid down with?
No. I don't hook up with celebrities. I've never done that. I mean, it's kind of, you know, I just...
The day is young.
Yeah, the day is young. And my life, I still have some time. But no, I've never gotten into that. I never liked the whole celebrity scene. And now, you know, with my show, I have to kind of make fun of celebrities all the time. So it's best that I just keep my distance from them because I don't really want any trouble.
Right.
You know,
but you weren't attracted. I mean, as a beautiful young woman out here in Los Angeles and somebody who's making the rounds, going out on auditions, working clubs and things like that, you must have met celebrity guys. You must have been attracted to celebrity guys. I mean, celebrity guys have come on to you at some point in your career, right?
You know what? Honestly, I can't really think of any time I ever got really hit on by... I've never really been in situations where I've... I don't really think I give off the vibe. I don't get hit on a lot.
I don't give off a vibe
that guys are like, hey, I feel like I'm from New Jersey. I kind of have that edge that I don't really even know that I have until people tell me. Because I don't get hit on. I don't get hit on after shows.
My ex-wife is red hot. And never gets hit on. And she says, I put off this vibe. Don't hit on me. I don't want you to.
By the way, you two should get back together because, you know, did you hear the article? I was talking to one of your interns outside about redheads becoming extinct in the year 2060. In the National Geographic, there was an article. If you guys don't start procreating with each other and force each other into rooms with other redheads, you guys are going to be gone.
I agree.
Pretty soon Pretty soon there'll be one kid with red hair and a drug problem and another kid with extensions and a very nice kid.
Listen, if we have to get him with drug problems, I'll take him any way we can. We can't lose redheads.
Gretchen is not a natural redhead, is she?
Gretchen's not even her natural hair, let alone her natural
color.
Is
Gretchen a human? Is she
Gretchen's
really?
My wife, yes.
Most parts are human.
Well, let me...
most parts.
Let me ask...
Anatomically, she's human.
She costs me a lot, but...
Let me ask you this, Chelsea Handler, but I'll throw this out to the room. It is interesting, the women that don't get hit on, it doesn't always have to do with beauty. Oftentimes, there's beautiful women that don't get hit on and unattractive women that do. I wonder if it's a close cousin of the straight man that never gets hit on by the gay man.
Ah, because somehow can sense.
Either way, you're putting a vibe off that says, back off.
Get away from me fast.
I'm not going for this. I think I do it with gay guys. I've never been hit on by a gay guy in my entire life, and I used to be,
I would be so offended.
I was attractive, and I swung a hammer and cut off shorts for a living. I was like the sixth village person, and I never was hit on by a gay guy. And I grew up out here. I didn't grow up, you know, in Indiana in the 40s where there was some weird taboo.
Dude, I'd be so offended if I were you. I was at lunch with a guy at the Abbey one time.
That was your first mistake.
No, I wanted to go there. I love the Abbey. And this other guy comes up and starts hitting on my friend who is gay. And all of a sudden, I get really mad, and I get all in this guy's grill and explain to him how rude he is, and he better back off my table. And my friend looks at me and goes, what are you doing, man? That guy was really cute. And I said, he doesn't know you're not with me. What made him think he could just come in and cut in on my date? He doesn't know I'm not gay.
A way to stake your claim.
Damn right.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Not going to let that guy get away.
Chelsea, do women ever hit on you?
Yeah, I get lesbians hitting on me all the time.
Interesting.
And they do, and I'm not throwing out that vibe either, believe me. But... Well, actually, I'm not that opposed to it, but I mean, I like men more than women.
Not up for you to say, though, T.
Yeah, it's the vibe.
She pushing it out there or not?
Oh, you're asking
me. Are you a lesbian?
No.
Oh, I'm straight.
She's bi-pliable.
She's bipolar.
The best way to be. I was just curious.
Yeah, I get hit on by lesbians a lot. I think they think that I'm going to come around. Well, a lot of lesbians are bicurious in this town. A lot of women are bisexual more than they are. I have a lot of girlfriends who have boyfriends and then girlfriends and then boyfriends and then girlfriends. That doesn't happen in a lot of other places.
I'll tell you how women are. Women are the same way guys are in prison. It's basically...
You can trade them for cigarettes?
Any port in a storm. Like guys in a prison, if you're in prison, like if Danny and I were in prison for life and we're cellmates, it'd be like, look, buddy, I'm not gay. and you're not gay. But the thought of never feeling anyone else's whatever on my hoo-ha
Firebox.
For the rest of my life.
That just
ain't going down well, so let's get this over with. And I feel like chicks will do that.
The problem is I, of course, have to be the bottom because I would have to climb you and look ridiculous with my feet not touching the ground.
Step ladder.
Yeah. First off, we would literally, heads or tails, we would flip a coin every night. And it would be the most important literal game of heads or tails you've ever played in your life. And don't make me bust out the rock, paper, scissors, because it's going to get ugly. So my point is I feel like most women, whenever I hear about lesbian or bi curious stories, it's always like, I'm not lesbian, but we were camping,
yep.
And we were like doing shots.
Here's the thing.
And she was really cute. It's like guys in prison. That's how I'm not gay, but
you're a lesbian. If you want to do that over and over again, you're a lesbian.
Right.
Unless there's another guy in the room or something, right, and it's like Mardi Gras.
Yeah. As a guy, and that's what you want to do to a girl more than anything else.
Right.
Is that a fetish of some kind?
Beaver fetish, you mean? Like, you just really love to go downtown, you mean?
If it takes all day.
I don't think anyone's going to get into a fight with you about that.
No, I've never been yelled at once.
So, I think you're pretty golden.
But I didn't know that chicks had the same problems guys do. That afterwards, they get all tingly and jump around, and it's too sensitive.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. That happens all the time. It's called a clitoris.
But by that time, my jaws are locked.
Can I just say this about me before we go to break? And I want Chelsea Handler and all the rest of the ladies
Chelsea
to know
about
this.
Chelsea wants me so
bad
by now.
Danny can talk till his red face turns blue about how much pleasure he brings to a woman when he performs on her. I don't want to compete with those guys, but I will say this, ladies. Nobody receives oral like me.
No, I know that to be true.
Again.
Like, you give it or you get it.
No,
I
gets
get it.
It.
Nobody is better at receiving.
It's true.
And again, I wouldn't begin to brag about my performing of it. I'm not much good at that. But when you want a satisfied customer, and you want to really feel about...
Danny, there's your invitation.
You feel good about what you're doing down there.
How do you think I got this job?
Come to me. You understand, Chelsea?
And vice versa.
I got you loud and clear.
I'll make you feel like you're the best. I won't make you feel the best. I'll make you feel you're the best.
You're very generous.
Thank you. Chelsea Handler here. We need to take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back to talk more oral with Chelsea Handler next.
Love these kind of interviews.
1 year ago, on a night just like tonight.
People were S-faced about an hour ago.
There was a man committing a sex act on a woman in fishnet stockings.
Don't electrocute her!
Charlotte is topless.
Where's my phone, you fat ass?
Look, has officially turned into Sodom and Gomorrah here.
October 25th at the Playboy Mansion, the return of Blotto in the Grotto. And this time...
Let's take a drive, baby.
We're bringing Bonaducci.
Hey, you bitch, I got it. I'm having a good old time.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
You can go to adamcarolla.com if you're a short, red-headed man and submit a picture. We have the chicks with the big noses to stand next to Teresa. We have the guys with the big pumpkin-sized heads to stand next to me. Now we need the short, red-haired guy to stand next to Danny. It's all relative. Chelsea Handler.
How tall are you, Danny?
5'6" and a half. But I'm wearing huge heels.
Chelsea, can I ask about the little person you brought home?
He was a little nugget. He was a little person I met in Mexico, and he was a waiter wearing a sombrero on his head filled with chips and salsa.
Really?
I love Maury.
And I wasn't going to let that guy get away. No. I said, listen, come with me, Paco. You're coming with Mommy.
That is the domain of the little man. Because you get a guy who's... No, the short man. The chips and salsa hat. You get a guy that's 6'5" wearing the chips and salsa hat.
Nobody
gets the chips and salsa.
Yeah, got guys jumping up on tables trying to get nourishment, but you want the short guy with the chips and salsa hat.
Yeah, and preferably a Mexican who knows how to make salsa.
What part of Mexico were you in?
Cabo.
What part of Mexico was in you?
Cabo.
So you take the guy home with the hat.
We took him back to my hotel room, and then I was very intoxicated. Woke up in the morning, wasn't sure what happened. Just heard a little pitter-patter of
little feet
on my Spanish tile. Looked over and was like, oh, my God, did I have a baby? What is that?
And, you know, he was jumping off the toilet seat. We didn't have sex. We just spent the night together. We cuddled. My underwear was still on.
Still a good night for him.
It was a great night for a book. Yeah. It was a great night for a story.
Your underwear were still on, but the rest of your clothes were off?
Yeah, but I sleep like that normally, so anything, that was pretty standard.
And that was in your book?
Yeah, that was in my book.
I had the pleasure of being with a dwarf once, and my book was published by Hyperion, which is Disney. And they cut the whole chapter out, and they said...
Really?
Yeah, they said there are only 7 dwarves, and you didn't have sex with any of them, and cut it out. And it's
really?
It was like the best... Remember the night I told you I took a swing at David Lee Roth, and I was drunk and missed and hit my head?
Mm-hmm.
And left with his dwarf?
He had a dwarf?
That's why I hit him.
What's the difference between a dwarf and a...
His name's Eddie
and
Van
a
Halen.
Little person? Because dwarves, I thought, are the ones that are, you know... in proportion, you know, the proportional,
right.
Like all their shapes and heads aren't all misshapen. But I thought the midgets are the ones that with the big medicine ball asses, you know, and the little penguin arms.
You mean like thalidomide arms?
Yeah.
No, this chick looked really normal until the time I found out she lived in Pomona.
By the time
I got her to Pomona, I had sobered up enough to see certain oddities that were
weird. Well, Pomona's where all the little people live.
What were the oddities? Officially under the rainbow.
Well, you really want to know the oddities? She didn't have knuckles.
They drive golf carts in Pomona.
She had no knuckles, so when she
it's
got
also
excited,
the wine country, in case you didn't know. Temecula and Pomona are the big wine countries
in
California.
That's all the best Sauvignon.
Anytime there's a water park nearby, there's always a good wine country around the corner.
Chelsea Handler, by the way, can be found in Brea.
Oh, Brea Improv
probably
tomorrow night.
Have to go through Pomona to get there. Tomorrow night, yes, and... just tomorrow night or two shows?
No, just tomorrow night. Two shows tomorrow night, 8 and 10, Brea Improv.
Do you just pack the house?
Sometimes. You know, usually I do theaters, so I haven't done a club in a long time.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing, like, you know, small theaters, like 800,000-seat theaters in different parts of the country.
What? How many seats?
Like 1,000 seats.
1,000 seats.
Nothing.
No, that's huge.
No,
and
really, it's fine.
When you do your stand-up act, are you doing just stand-up, or are you... telling stories, going through your book, showing slides. You know what I'm saying?
It's not so much of a slideshow as it is just stories and jokes. It's not, you know, I talk a lot about Danny Bonaducci and other redheads, Carrot Top, the other positive role models.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of stories about sex with strangers. I must say, it's hot when a hot chick tells you about having sex with strangers.
Yeah. Really? And Chelsea's very serious about drinking. This isn't a bit, right?
No, I drink a lot. Yeah, I love drinking.
But it's hot.
Yeah.
You see...
I don't ever want to have to give up drinking, so I don't ever get carried away with it.
I don't ever want to quit many times.
Exactly, right?
You and I should get together and have a whole brood of moderate drinkers. I've said it all the time. I love my booze, and I love it too much to ever get to the point with it where somebody says you must stop. It's affecting
your
work.
Have you ever been concerned, Chelsea, though,
that
it's going too far? Then maybe you have to cut back.
No, I'm pretty good with my drinking. I'm pretty much, I'd like to consider myself like somewhat of an advanced drinker. So I'm not one of those girls that gets drunk and is a moron. Like, I have my act together. If I drink, I don't drive. You know, I learned my lesson early when I was 21. And, you know, I got a DUI once and I won't ever get another one.
But Chelsea,
you gotta be smart about partying.
When you were having sex with a sombrero filled with nacho cheese, certainly at that point you thought maybe I've crossed the line in the booze department.
No, I thought this is the life.
Yeah.
How did I get myself here?
They only snuck.
How can I move to Cabo full time without learning how to speak Spanish?
Before you got here. But now I boned the dwarf and I thought, this is the life.
Danny, are you sober? You can't drink now? Or what's your story?
I can.
But do you? No, I don't.
I don't. There is a line I leap over lines.
Boning the dwarf sounds like something one of my old construction foremen would have yelled at us if we were moving too slowly or hanging out.
Like that would have been your punishment?
You guys quit hanging out and boning the dwarf. How about someone gets back up on the roof and starts putting some shingles down?
I'm not in construction, so I didn't have that problem.
I've done some gnarly stuff where it's like, if you don't quit drinking, A, you're going to jail again. That guy's going to sue you again.
What do you drink, Adam? Do you drink hard stuff? Do you drink vodka? Or do you drink what? What do men drink? Jack Daniels?
I love to drink my red wine.
Oh,
that's my medicine. But when the weekend rolls around, or, you know, if I'm at a party or something, see, that's the whole thing. I like booze like I like women. And somebody says, what do you like, blondes, or do you like Asian women? And I'm like, I like all good-looking women. That's my whole thing, and that's the thing about booze. I like all good booze. I like good vodka. I like good beer. I like good red wine. There's nothing I won't do, and there's nothing I won't combine. I don't buy. I'll do a shot of tequila, drink a glass of red wine, then have white wine, and then do a Jaeger shot and be absolutely fine with it.
I believe that, too. I don't believe that mixing drinks is going to kill you.
No, not at all.
You know
it's
when you're drunk and then you stop drinking or you start doing other drugs.
But back to the one-night stands, Chelsea, quickly. Just because.
Not that quickly.
Just
kinda
because,
slowly.
As I've said many times, when a beautiful woman does something, it's always hot. When a beautiful woman smokes it, when Cindy Crawford lights a cigar, it's hot. When an ugly chick does it, it's disgusting. The drunken one night stand, we've all worked with a chick who's kind of cankly and has bad skin and says, don't ask about who I slept with last night. And you're like, oh, dear God, please don't tell me. I will vomit into this trash can. But when Chelsea Handler says it, it's like,
I think that's kind of a compliment.
But I mean, Chelsea is Chelsea and has also stated that she stays in control when she drinks.
See, I never, when girls get hook up with guys and they're always like, oh, and guys like, oh, she's so slutty, or how could you take, you know, no one wants, either if you sleep with them right away, they're not going to take you, you know, they're not going to want to see you again. It's like, hey, what about if we're sleeping with you on the first time, we're not that interested in seeing you again either.
Decent point.
This isn't a one-way street.
I disagree. I think a girl that wants to have sex with you on the first date and doesn't go by the rules of I can't, I like her twice as much as the girl that makes me wait 2 days.
But sometimes, like I was talking,
conventional wisdom would suggest or dictate, though, if a guy is thinking big picture, long term, that you shouldn't sleep with him the first night, the first date.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't. But I've known so many people who get married who sleep with each other the first date. I've slept with guys on the first date just because I knew I didn't want to see him again and thought, well, I might as well get this out of the way.
You know, it's nice. First off, do you have any sisters? And secondly,
two.
Are you seeing anybody?
Fantastic.
I have a Mormon sister. One of my sisters is Mormon.
Mm.
And Chelsea,
and
do
you're
any-
more man.
Then,
are you in a relationship now?
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm in a couple. Yeah.
A committed relationship?
Yeah.
And that's it.
I mean, you know, it's committed. We're together. We live together.
Mm-hmm. That's committed.
So, I mean, we have sex a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Seems pretty serious.
Sounds serious.
Do you want to get married to this guy?
No, I don't want to get married. I mean, not to him. I don't really want to get married, period.
Have you ever been married before?
No.
So most of the time, or usually with people that don't want to get married, especially with women, it's they had a bad marriage and they're just not going to get married again. You don't hear about the ones that have never been married. Do you want kids?
No.
No kids, no marriage.
I don't think I'd be a great parent. Like, if I was going to, I don't think that's the most responsible thing for somebody like me to do. So if I came across a situation where I had wanted to adopt a child or do something like that, maybe I would consider that if it was like a stray child.
Child didn't get along with your cats? Would you give it away to
then
your hairdresser?
I would have to kill that baby. I would have to kill the baby if she didn't get along with the cats.
I just want to say this. As a guy who's had a one-night stand or two, the bar's fairly low. I mean, this is usually how it works with a guy. The guy has a choice, usually. Do you want to be with a hot chick? That's going to take a couple of dinners and a couple of dates and a couple of phone calls and a couple of bouquets of roses or flowers. Or do you want to get laid? You can, but you're going to have to go with that thing at the end of the bar.
You got to go with the wildebeest.
Chelsea Handler, whoever. The guys, if you're out there, if you got Chelsea on the first night, consider yourself lucky, because normally you don't score that high.
But
it's a choice you have to make.
If I'm not mistaken, and I kind of like this.
Shows we only have another 3 hours.
Because there, you know, I've been told more than once by one of my wives or girlfriends, there's women walking around, they get to say, I had sex with her husband. The guys that you've had one night stands with aren't particularly important to you in any way. They don't really get bragging rights. You got laid because you felt like it.
Yeah, that's exactly the difference.
Awesome.
A girl goes out to have sex because sometimes they... Because here's the problem. Girls who have low self-esteem go out and have sex with men because they want somebody to be nice to them. They want to feel like they're attractive. They want to feel like they're liked.
Some
women like to have sex. If you like sex and you want to go out and get yourself some sexy time, then that's your business. And women, and that's not necessarily a slut or somebody who's easy. That's somebody who's taking,
a libido. It's not
taking life by the ball, grabbing life by the big balls,
literally.
Big red balls, Danny.
Yes, the midget.
Is there something going on between us? Because if there is, I went in on it.
There's not.
Because when she had big red balls, I thought there was something happening there.
I feel like I could watch you two if I just covered one eye.
Legend two dimensions.
Does your boyfriend get upset that you've had something of a past? Does he
obviously
care?
Not. Once you write a book about it, it's like you can't ever pretend anything else went on. You have to say, listen, here's the book. If you still want to date me after, then just don't ever say I pretended I was, you know, something else.
But you guys, cool. It's not never a situation where you guys are in a nice, expensive, classy restaurant and a guy comes by with a sombrero filled with cheese and he just looks at you and a single tear drops, comes down his right eye.
That happens, Tony. But my boyfriend knows if that happens that I'm going to leave with that Mexican. Right.
All right. Well, Chelsea Handler can be found tomorrow night doing two shows at the Brea Improv. You can also find her hosting Chelsea Lately. Weeknights, 11:30 on E, and the Comedy Festival coming up Friday, November 16th. Mark it on your calendar at Caesar's Palace. God bless you, Chelsea.
Thanks,
Handler.
Guys. Thanks Open for having me. In.
All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back, I think we'll get Terry, my pterodactyl, and he's going to swoop down, and he's taking some celebrities to Volcano. 866-901-ADAM. Again, I've had an ass full of blowhard celebrities. I don't know what to do with them. I don't want to shoot them. I don't want to have them die in fiery crashes, but I would like them to go away. And I feel it'd be very satisfying just to see a pterodactyl. I mean, there's Halle Berry, and she's on the red carpet, and she's talking about what it's like to be a woman at 40 and never feeling sexier. And I've never felt better about myself. And sexy is it's a state of mind. It's not what you look like on the outside. It's what. And all of a sudden, it's just a pterodactyl just swoops down, grabs her blowhard ass, and goes off into the sunset. When you see the volcano in the distance with the smoke, the plume of smoke coming, how satisfying would that be if you're watching Entertainment Tonight? I want to know who you want in that volcano. 866-901-ADAM. I will have my list. Give us yours. Chelsea, good times, baby.
Thank you.
In case you didn't hear, Adam has a new pet.
My pterodactyl. Hey, all I got to say to Whoopi, the other ladies from The View, and all the cast of Grey's Anatomy, you guys better use the sewer system to get around. My pterodactyl. Swooping down. The town cheers, and that's the last we see of these people.
Who do you think should be on Adam's pterodactyl list? Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
Don't look for Terry. You'll not find him. He's a thief in the night.
You won't even hear him coming in. He'll swoop. He won't flap.
That's the whole thing. He gets to altitude, and then he just goes into a death dive. And he'll hit you at terminal velocity. And when you're a blowhard celebrity, you'll feel a slight sting on the back of your neck. That's his razor-sharp beak and or talons grabbing you. And then you will see the red carpet get smaller and smaller and smaller till it just looks like the Great Wall from space. You'll just see there'll be Pat O'Brien with a single drop of Grecian formula running down his right eye and his mustache getting smaller, which you can still see from outer space, by
sure,
the way.
Yeah.
The Great Wall of China and Pat O'Brien's mustache are the only two things visible from outer space. I'm not making it up. It's Ask an Astronaut. Write that down. It'll be a good segment for next week's show. So it just gets smaller,
Adam,
and smaller.
I would watch yourself
smaller.
Saying anything blowhardy right now because a caller wants Terry to take you. Line 7.
Whoa. He's turned.
Just be careful.
Bitten by his own snake. Eddie?
I've heard that in my
Hello?
You want Terry to come after me?
Yeah, you're going on these little rants. You seem like a little girl. Hey, when did you grow a vagina?
Wow.
I guess.
Hey, were you down at Camacho's on Sunday? Did I see you?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
Me? Were you there?
You're going on these little rants about Bush and all that, saying you're not a Republican. I was just wondering, when are you joining the woman from The View?
Wait.
That's good.
What, so far, no, it's not. It's random words strung together. What is it that makes, because we're taking blowhard celebrities. That's the point. We're taking blowhard celebrities and dropping them off in a volcano. Why do you want Adam specifically?
Oh. Well, now that you're chiming in, is Terry carpooling so he
can...
But my voice doesn't make me too stupid to not know I can't say the F word.
He's angry.
scary.
It's called Danny a Megabot. It's Megabot, by the way. She works 3 packs.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What happened?
Look at Ruben on line 5. Who would want to take Bald Brian from us?
As a blow. That's just wrong.
This is awful.
This guy misunderstands.
I would never, ever ask Terry, my pterodactyl, to turn on his owner, but I will entertain Bald Brian as a possibility. But again, Ruben, you need to know Bald is right in Bald Brian's name, and Terry has gription problems. He can't grab bald people as easily as Dr. Phil would have been the first guy in the volcano if he wasn't bald and 300 pounds. There's logistical problems. Yes, Ruben.
Maybe we could glue a little handle on his head or something, and I don't want him dropped in there per se, just maybe singe his feet and burn the hair off the bottom or something. Because
you think there's hair on the feet?
Yeah, I know he has hobbit feet. And I just want to, you know, when I'm driving to work and I'm getting cut off by some jackass, and Bald Brian isn't playing the right sound effect, and Adam's sitting there, you know, giving them the hint after hint, and I know what button push.
Mm. Oh, this is about the snake thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I was yelling at him.
Yeah, do the snake.
All right, but let me say,
God damn you.
Let me say this about Bald Brian.
Give me a break.
First off, Bald Brian gets paid less than anybody in this building.
Is it true?
Yes, including the ficus plant in the lobby. Yes, just because he has better representation than Bald Brian.
But I'm trying to do my best, you know, under really difficult circumstances.
I told program director Jack Silver last year how important Bald Brian was to the show and how smart he was and just how hard he worked. And he said, fine, I'll give him $29,000 a year. And I said, he's really more important than that. And he said, fine, you can pay him. So I chipped in to pay Bald Brian.
It's called lowballing, eh?
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, I got one question before I go. Was that last caller the guy with the sombrero with the cheese in it?
He did sound like him.
He's angry.
That's great.
Yes. Although, according to Jack, that's our target demo.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, right, Ruben. Good all times, right. Buddy boy. Let's see. $10. Never call the show again. Who else?
I didn't appreciate
you. Brian does a great and thankless job here.
I think most intelligent people understand Brian's contribution.
And better than anybody I've ever seen do it.
Faster and better. But as I use the example of the mover, if you're moving a palace worth of furniture into a 70,000 square foot house, if Aaron Spelling's widow decides she's going to move from one house with a bowling alley in it to another house with an indoor pool, and they move every single piece of furniture without so much as a scuff or a scratch, and on the last day as they bring in a vase, they drop it, the move is a disaster.
Right.
Because nobody says, who put that sofa there? They did a wonderful job. All they say is, what happened to the vase? And then they go, the mover broke it. So Bald Brian can drop in 1,000 funny as hell drops and no one says a word. The one time he drops one in over something or hits the wrong button or doesn't know what I'm talking about.
See you guys.
Have you ever hired a mover? They make twice as much as I do.
I'm hiring a mover Friday.
I like line 4 because it's very timely.
I'm not kidding when I say Bald Brian is the least compensated monetarily person in the building.
Well, it's nice of you to chip in.
Yes, a little more than a chip. Hey, Darren.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's happening?
Well, first I want to offer you my service. For your bigger hairless people that need to be thrown into the volcano or taken to another place, I actually have access to an old Mothra that I can sell out to you.
Mothra has a much greater lifting capacity than the pterodactyl does.
Who do you want to take? Who do you want Terry to take?
Well, I think Iggy and Ellen. I think one for each foot. And at full load.
I'm begging them to give that dog back to that family. I just want the family to have the dog. It's not their fault. It's my fault.
So we take the lap dog and we throw it into the lap of a volcano. By the way, Mothra.
Yeah.
Not a great monster.
Not a great monster. And how did that pitch session go? Hey, listen, folks, we're getting a little burnt out on Godzilla. We have to find someone for him to fight. How about a giant moth? Brilliant. What an idea. A moth? I'd rather see him fight like a light bulb or a picnic basket. I mean, is there, how far down before you get to moth? I mean, when you start just in the insect realm,
okay,
you start at spider, you maybe start at praying mantis, and then you go to spider, and then you go to like scorpion and stuff. When do you get to moth?
Then what was the turtle who could suck in all its extremities
Camera.
And spin?
Someone's got to speak to these ancients.
I got an idea. Let's make a monster out of the slowest moving creature known to man.
Yes. I mean, nothing strikes fear into the heart of man like a turtle or a moth. Or the worst of all creatures, the biblical turtle moth. Super slowly, it's attracted to the flame. I mean, you're fighting a turtle and a moth. What the F?
It's only me, man. I turn my lights off because moths annoy me at worst.
All right.
Not exaggeration. There was a Godzilla movie after that where he fought. It was called, I'm almost positive, Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. He fought Smog.
I know. He fought Smog.
It got worse after Moth.
I fought the Smog and the Smog won.
Maybe the guy that came up with Mothra is the same guy who decided to call one of the scariest TV, or I should say movie killers of all time, Jason. Maybe it was the same guy. All right, let's see. Teddy, the phone screener. I can't believe Teddy let that guy by.
I like that.
Troy?
Yes, sir?
Who did you say you wanted Teddy, the phone screener, when you talked to Teddy, the phone screener?
Dude, I called in last week when you guys were doing that, the song with a girl's name in it.
Right, mm-hmm. Music Monday.
And I said, you know what, Guns N' Roses, My Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, are you sure? Wasn't that by the Beatles?
Yeah.
Then he had me on hold for 57 minutes. Three times he came back up. Be ready. Speak directly into the thing, you know.
Well, let me explain the problem with throwing Teddy into the volcano, Troy. Emotionally, no problemo. Done and done. He used to have crazy, crazy hair. He had hair like Stephen Wright. And it freaked everyone out because it was red. And then he got it all cut off, and he started getting more normal. It's like when he got rid of his crazy hair, it was like that was a crazy part of him, and he left it at the barber shop.
It was a reverse Samson.
Yeah.
When he lost his hair, he got powers.
And he started talking, and he started looking at people, and he started doing his job, and all of a sudden there was a new Teddy.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, maybe I shouldn't toss him into the volcano. But, Troy, you say he's in?
57 minutes on hold.
All right, I'll toss him.
He's just doing his job.
All right, good. Places the lotion in the bath.
I'm going to let him grow. I'm going to let the hair grow out just a little bit before we do it. Ah, here's a guy after my own heart. Christian?
Yo, what's up, you guys?
Who do you want Terry to toss into a volcano?
One person only. That is Bono.
Yeah, I agree.
He's got to go, Adam.
You know why Bono's got to go? Because he spends half his waking hours standing on our soil, wanting to know what we're going to do about Darfur, what we're going to do about whatever international problems are, what we're going to do about the world's hungry. Like, Bono never stops yakking about it. And I always think, where's he from, Ireland?
Yeah.
How about I send Bob Seger over there and he does nothing but bash your country?
Yeah.
I'll send the Detroit rocker. I'll send the guy from the Silver Bullet Band. I'm going to send Bob Seger out to Ireland, Bono, and he's going to go on the steps of your courthouses, and he's going to demand to speak to your president or whatever the hell you got over there. And all he's going to do is go, what are you guys doing about what's going on in Darfur? You see, there's people dying of famine. How would you like it, Bono, if I sent one of our older rock stars over there and he did nothing but complain about your country from your country? And by the way, last time I checked, Ireland wasn't exactly a model of civilization.
No.
You guys got problems over there as well.
You do.
Bono, how about you clean up your own backyard and then maybe we'll give you a loan?
Also, I'm tired of having to pretend I like his music so people will think I'm cool.
Yes, bucka, 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 bucka. I'm tired of it, too. And the other guy I've had an ass full of is Michael Stipe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But who has
Listen, would you just go gay and leave us alone? Just please, Stipe. It's like, I get... sort of 20% more unhappy every time the guy speaks. You know, these willowy complainers? I don't think other countries would put up with these guys.
Sure, like Moby.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and you're like, hey, Michael, why the down? Why aren't you having a fun time? And they're like, I can't celebrate knowing what's going on and the rest. Look, how about you crack a beer and go to a water park? Come on, Stipe.
That's the perfect answer.
Yeah.
Hey,
just
Stipe,
woke up in America.
If you're listening, we watch football over at Kimmel's on Sunday. I get loaded and yelled to TV set, and then we go over to Wet n' Wild. It's awesome. Come on, buddy.
Go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Here's a sack. Here's a box of Bugles. Enjoy a handful of life.
But I'm losing my religion.
Yes. Enjoy.
And your hair.
You know what I mean? Let's have a good time, buddy.
Do you think that guy ever just goes out and just laughs and has a good time? Just
no.
Like, laugh?
No. How can he laugh? There's people starving in Darfur.
Even that Shiny Happy People song was ironic.
Yeah, he was making fun of shiny, happy people. Mm-hmm. Stipe, if you're listening, I'm going to gas up my Chevy Silverado. I'm going to swing by your place. We're going to crack some Bud Tall Boys, and then we're going to the amusement park to urinate in Typhoon Corner.
Sure.
Or whatever the hell they got over there. And we're going to get loaded when we get out. We're going to cruise some hotties.
When I was younger and more interested, I wanted to do something quite similar with Woody Allen. I thought, this is the funniest man in the world who never has any fun.
You know, I like to take Stipe out for a little paintball.
Yeah.
Then we're going go-karting.
No, you'd kill Michael Stipe with a paintball.
And right, you know what? You know what you'd have for lunch? Hardee's 920-calorie burrito.
That's right. Stipe, I'm going to get the Hardee's breakfast country burrito with 920 calories. I'm going to stuff a cigarette in the end of it so I can smoke it. Use it like a giant Mexican filter. And in my right hand, I'm going to have a paintball gun. And the left will be the burrito with the cigarette in it. And I will be going down the water slide with a paintball gun shooting you in the ass as we go to Wet n' Wild with a couple of tall boys. How about it, buddy? Come on. Let's watch some football. Let's crack a beer. Let's enjoy.
The only part of that would appeal to him was going down Wet n' Wild with tall boys.
All right, last one, and this is one I love. Troy?
What's up, bro?
What's happening, Troy? Who do you have? Who do you want thrown into the volcano?
100% hands down, Avril Lavigne.
Oh. But let me explain something. Yes, I hate her because she's like 14 and a half, and she's all punk, except for if you see pictures of her from 3 years ago, she was looked like one of the Mouseketeers. Yeah. But of course, she's angry and punk now. But there's a part of her that's hot.
There is.
And what I would need Terry to do is to go ahead and drop her off, and I do a thing called a holding pattern with him. I need you to pick up Avril Lavigne. I need you to swing by the Corolla residence. I need to finish a little business with her before she goes into the volcano.
Wait.
You just get yourself in a nice circle or figure eight. Figure eight if you like, Terry, but you stay a couple thousand feet above the Corolla house because you're going to be hearing screams coming from the chimney. And you just go in a nice slow circle. I got a little work to do with her. I don't want to say on the air because I'm too delicate, but its initials are VF. The F stands for what you think it stands for, and the V, vengeance.
Oh. Mm-hmm. See, if
you know
G,
what I'm talking about?
I thought it was G, too,
G.
Yeah,
G. Grudge.
Yeah, grudge. I go vengeance. It goes deeper than grudge.
Wow.
This is not a passing emotion.
All right, then I want some retribution sex.
This ain't makeup sex. And this ain't first-time sex. This is VF. And then when I'm done and every fluid has been drained from my body, I whistle my silent whistle. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Here we go. There it was.
It was awesome.
And Terry's ears perk up. He goes into the death dive. He picks up Avra. And they head toward the volcano. But at some point, I get past my refractory period. And I'm like, whoa.
Well, you're right.
Not so fast. And I do the thing with Terry. I whistle again. Terry, if you dropped her in, he's like, I had one talon open, but I didn't drop her yet. Good. Swing back around.
Now,
we're going for round two.
There's two problems there. And that's one of them. The other one is, I don't know that women know this. I know that they see that men lose interest, and they always comment that we roll over and go to sleep. But the fact is, our mind changes for at least a brief moment about everything we hold holy and or important right after sex. Whatever it is, it's unimportant. Victory. Yeah. The game's on that we've been waiting for all day. If it happens at just that moment, you say, in a minute. So wouldn't
I was this close to just telling Terry, like, you know, I gave my, you know, time to pick up Avra and drop her in the volcano. And then I said, or you could take me and drop me in. I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't have anything left.
There's a couple of moments
in
where you just go, did I want to do something with, were you of interest to me a moment ago?
Yeah, it's like somebody took a toy car and popped the batteries out of it. It looks the same, but ain't going anywhere. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Boy, you guys, Bruce Springsteen, Bill Maher, Howie Mandel, again, bald. Come on, people. Frankie Muniz.
What did he ever do to anybody?
I don't know, but why not? See, every once in a while, I have to instruct Terry to get somebody. He didn't do any, you know, so I go, hey, T, Frankie Muniz is in the volcano, and you say,
what'd he ever do?
Nothing. Sometimes I just get in a mood. Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, wow. That's how easy it is for me. It's like one of those movies where the bad guy just goes up and shoots one of his guys.
Yeah.
And goes, do I have everyone's attention now? Because if you can do that to one of your own.
Yeah.
That's why I threw I'm the Sonny's going in.
Just to show everyone that you're not afraid.
You're going to mess with... Are you going to mess? He's a little too heavy now. Are you going to mess? It's only about 110 pound lifting capacity. Are you going to mess with a dude who had his son tossed into a volcano with his pterodactyl?
No.
You know what I mean?
That guy's called my bluff and won.
Like when you guys are driving around the Best Buy and you hit the parking spot at the same time and you're like, hey, dude. And I'm like, hey, dude. And then I yell, hey, dude, you know where I'm coming from? I just instructed my pterodactyl to throw my infant son in a volcano. You throw that car in reverse as fast as you can.
Not just to get away from the guy that would do that to his son, but the guy that would think to scream it out in a public place.
It's wordy, but effective. Two guys that definitely aren't going in a volcano. Matt Silverstein, Dave Jesser, the genius behind Drawn Together. Animated show, Comedy Central. I star in it. And it has been voted like the... It's like the number one show by college students. It's like the most badass, edgiest, I didn't know you could do that on TV.
Right.
Loved by stoners, feared by women. Matt Silverstein, Dave Jesser, Drawn Together. We'll talk about it next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser from the new season of Comedy Central's Drawn Together, co-starring Adam Carolla.
Hey, you cereal mascot douchebag! Tooth Bronstein is going to destroy you and the entire cereal empire with these special UPC codes!
There's nothing special about UPC codes. Why? They're everywhere! And have been since 1971. First suggested by Wallace Fritz in 1922, the Uniform Product Code, or UPC, was developed for... I like to pee on things.
The co-creators of Drawn Together, Matt Silverstein and Dave Jesser, on The Adam Carolla Show.
There's a great joke coming up in tonight's episode. It's the cereal episode, all the characters from the cereal, and I think my character meets Frankenberry. And I tell him it used to be Frankenstein when we were in Hebrew school.
Okay. To change it.
Assimilation is our biggest problem.
Silverstein in studio. Too. Dave Jesser, the twisted, perverted minds behind Drawn Together. If you haven't seen it, it is the funniest animated show. Nay, the funniest show on television and the raunchiest. You will watch it and go, I can't believe they can do that. Not only verbally, but visually.
Well, thank you, Adam. It's definitely the most violent, most sexual cartoon on TV. I don't even know if it's on TV. We've been on the air for so long, but we are on now. And it's exciting because people are finding it, even though like we'd been off for so long. Like, our ratings are going up. There's like, you were talking about like a Cagney and Lacey thing going on.
I was saying during the commercial break to the guys, this is the fourth and could be the last season for Drawn Together. But we've seen it time and time again. There's shows that were going to go away, like Jericho and Cagney and Lacey.
Party of Five.
T wrote until her hand bled.
Still bleeding.
Just because it took place in San Francisco, baby. I know where
they
you're at.
They lost their parents, Adam.
The point is if you get on your computer, shoot some emails to Comedy Central, or do what you can, we might keep this train a rolling into another season. And for me, it means $1,400
wow.
to my bottom line. Yeah.
You turn around and give it to Bald Bryant.
Or you can email us. We actually put our email addresses on the DVD commentary on the DVDs. It was actually the commentary on the commentary, just to be double.
Email or MySpace?
My email address.
Wow.
We've got seven emails so far.
Wow.
So that's really going to change everything. We're
really
excited.
You must be overwhelmed.
But we've been forwarded all of them to the network, and how can they avoid? Yeah, I mean, they can't read them all. So it's exciting. But we do have clips of tonight's show. Somehow they got on YouTube. Mm-hmm. If you look up Drawn Together Serial, you get to see all your favorite serial people, and it's such a funny episode. I really want people to watch
it. Really,
I love your enthusiasm, dude. You make me look calm.
I mean this in all sincerity. One of the biggest problems, and everyone in this room has experienced it, is you either create your own material, or when you work for somebody else and do their material, like you do a part in their sitcom, they hand you the script and you go, Christ, how long do I have to fix? I mean, how long until we shoot? And then you have to do that thing where you go, hey, I had a couple ideas, not better than yours, but totally different, that I would feel more comfortable doing, because almost every script that gets handed to you blows huge monkey ass. I will say this. Part of it is because it's a great script, and the other is just because I'm tired most of the time. But every single Drawn Together episode I've ever done, I have not modified. I sat in there, read what these guys wrote, laughed my ass off, got my $8, and went home.
Well,
and
Adam,
normally, I must change and modify almost everything I'm asked to read.
Well, we very, very much appreciate the compliments. It would have been nice at the time if you didn't pretend like you were working on South Park all the time.
am I Cartman? Which one am I? Yeah.
It was a running joke. The other thing is
That's not a bad impression.
I made them get me reading glasses, even though I don't need them, because it looks good when the actors go into the studio
and
put the reading glasses on. Whenever you see the behind the scenes of the Disney Pixar movie, they're always wearing the glasses.
And looking over the glasses.
And I
really
look down. Yeah, when you can't hear somebody, you slide your glasses down.
Now,
you go for your eyeballs.
Are you ever forced to do other voices, not just your main character, but just there's a crowd scene and everybody has to now be in the crowd?
Yeah, he does Spanky, or he does Bertram from Remarkable.
Or I do Adam Carolla.
I've done very few cartoons. I've done a lot of voiceovers, very few cartoons, and that's my failing right there.
Yeah.
I can't be anybody else.
Well, Danny, if the show comes back, we'd love to have you on.
And I
would be remiss if I didn't say hello for my wife, who has a big crush on you, loves everything you do. It might be the red hair, the freckles,
I
have. She's actually turned on. Like, she actually gets aroused by you. A lot of Breaking Bonaducci meant a lot of sex for me. So I'm sad the show is off.
A lot of people are getting a lot of crazy monkey sex. They'd fight because they'd say, he's right. She won't bone him. Of course he cheated.
Yes,
no wonder he's on drugs.
You were absolutely right on that show.
I was right on that show.
There's no question about
it. It's weird with the guy with the needle sticking out of his shoulder also happens to be right. But those two things can happen.
But it is weird when your wife wants to have sex with you after you've tried to cut yourself. And, you're explaining
now
to your kid that the window fell on you. And then she's like, let's do it, baby.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Bonaducci.
There's something a bit iffy about that girl.
Bonaducci would be a good name for your junk. You know what I mean? Hey, baby, how about you try breaking Bonaducci tonight?
All right, I will try that. Lisa, wait
many
for me
tried.
Tonight by the bed.
Hold on, Bonaducci is in rehab, but he'll be out.
Let me say this about Matt Silverstein and Dave Jesser. I met these guys many years ago. An inspirational story. You guys should all hear this. Play the tinkling piano, would you please? It was, 1998, 1999. Me and Kimmel were sitting around our office when our buddy Daniel popped a video cassette in. We said, what is this? We somehow received it in the mail. Who was it? Well, it was a young Dave Jesser, dressed as an American Indian, shrunk down and put into a cupboard. Remember that movie, Indian in a cupboard? Except for this Indian was wearing a thong back,
Thank you.
Had war paint in appropriate places and was doing a very gay YMCA type of dance. We all laughed our ass off and said, who gave us this tape? And they said, a guy named Matt Silverstein, and the Indian is Dave Jesser.
Indian, nice. Indian coming out of the cupboard.
Coming out of the cupboard.
Clever title.
And we said, this is sick, bizarre, and twisted. Let's hire one of them.
So that is true.
We hired Matt.
Wow.
And Matt turned out to be a great writer, but Matt had some emotional problems, like the time that he wrote in the Man Show bathroom. What was it? Die, you stupid Jew.
To
homo.
Himself. Here's the thing. I did it to myself because there's everything. Listen, everyone who's writing funny stuff about each other on the bathroom wall. Nobody wrote anything about me, and I felt left out. Right. So I went in there with this giant red marker and scribbled that on the wall.
He wrote what we were all thinking, but didn't have the courage to actually write on the wall.
It's like being a celebrity and not having a stalker.
Right.
The only one with no stalker. Nobody cares enough to figure out your address.
He created his own stalker.
Right, exactly.
And we didn't take too many things seriously over at the Man Show, but for some reason, somebody took this one seriously.
Well,
not
threatening
me.
Threatening a Jew's life.
I'm glad you
took it seriously.
I still thought it was funny, but somebody took it seriously, and we decided we needed to find out who did it. Well, poor Matt wouldn't admit he did it.
I wouldn't.
And then he got to watch everyone else get blamed for it, and they were taking handwriting samples. Oh. And the whole bit, it was like, well, what happened was the producers and the company, everyone got involved, and it's like, hey, whoever wrote this is going to get fired. Yeah. Right. It's a hate crime. You don't do that in Hollywood.
It's a self-hate crime. Only a Jew.
But then Matt turned out to be, his people call it a mensch. Hmm. And you want to know, I will give you the Jewiest story you can tell, you can ever say.
More Jewy than the story of Moses.
This is Jewy. Like, if I said...
Nobody gets lost in
If I room. Said, Moisha... Why are you wearing a cast on your arm? And you said, I tripped on a dreidel at a bar mitzvah and my arm slammed into a moil. This is a Jewier story than
wow.
that.
Good. Okay.
That's
amazing.
This is to the core Jew.
Hey.
Matt and I had to go somewhere and film some Man Show thing once. And I think he was the writer and I was me. So we hopped into the same car, which was his car, and we took off. He said, I'll pick you up in the Cherokee. He had a Cherokee sent out to him from Chicago. His in-laws had an extra car and sent it out for him. And we hopped in the car and we started driving, and I noticed the steering wheel was positioned like the way a steamroller steering wheel is positioned. It was not vertical. It was horizontal.
Right.
He was steering it with his elbows up, and it was between his legs.
Not comfortable.
The car didn't handle very well. And I said, Matt, what's up with the steering wheel? And he said, I don't know. This is how it showed up. And I said, how long you been driving around this way? I don't know, a year. I said, Matt, there's a little button on the column. You can adjust the wheel so it goes down. This is evidently how they ship the car, but right. It's not meant to be driven this way. That's how he, to this day, would have been driving the car had not a Gentile from the valley entered the vehicle.
Yeah, thank God for you. Thank you for. Yeah, it was very uncomfortable. Actually, you know, my shoulders always were sore.
It was more like he was, you know, captaining a tugboat than it was actually steering an SUV. So Matt somehow found Dave Jesser, who was the Indian in the cupboard, and drew him into the mix. And then they both came aboard. Even though, truthfully, Dave, you always gave Jimmy the creeps. I gotta be honest with you.
I can appreciate
that. To this day, you probably freak him out. I always thought you were cool, but you did freak out Kimmel.
Why? What about him?
I don't know. He's weird. There's something weird about
it. You make fun of me, you make fun of Danny. All right? There's a lot of people say we look like... You know, when you guys left me in New York, when Matt came out here, I was actually working on Danny's pilot, Splitsville.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day. I don't know if anyone's seen it.
Well, we left you in New York back in the late 90s, you mean?
Yeah, back in the late 90s.
Well, somehow the two reunited,
I convinced Jimmy. I was like, Jim, you got to get this guy on the show. He's funny. He's good. And I remember Jimmy was just like, I don't think so. He's terrible. he's horrible. And I think you were actually on the other line, or you were in my house. I was holding up the phone to your dad.
Yeah.
It was.
You
hurt.
Gave Kimmel the creeps.
I give a lot of people the creeps. But he came out here and he proved himself. And then they started doing
Crank Yankers. They produced Crank Yankers for us. And then they went on to Drawn Together. So here's my point, all the young people that just want to come out and go out on auditions and get headshots made up.
No matter how creepy you are, make a
weird homoerotic video, send it to Jimmy Kimmel, and a short 8 years later, you'll be on Adam's radio show.
I remember I got that phone call from you guys like, hey, come on out. You know, we don't know you at all, but come fly out and we'll hire you week to week and see if you're any funny. And I wept. I remember this. It was so... I was like, I'm going to the man show! And I was at... We went to, like, a restaurant somewhere in the village, at a really nice restaurant with her family, my family, whole thing, my wife's family. Bawled the entire...
Really?
It wasn't like in front of his wife alone. It was like I showed up, other guys showed up, couldn't stop crying. Just crying.
Because that was your dream?
No, because he was terrified of going to Los Angeles by himself.
I sent the Indian in the cupboard. We were both supposed to go.
What made you think we would watch Indian in the Cupboard, a 6-minute gay spoof on a Disney film, and go, we got to hire these guys?
I don't know. You hired one of us. Why would you think that, though?
The only reason I wasn't going to send it, this is actually a true story. I was like, listen, they're not going to like this. This stuff is terrible. And my wife's like, you're right, Matt. Come sit down and watch Party of Five with me. And I'm like, well... If I'm going to watch Party of Five, I can at least send out this thing.
Really?
Yeah. Because of Party of Five, because wow. I figured.
We've come full circle. Yeah, also, Matt and Dave horrified us all by showing us their annual homoerotic calendar they shot in college, which made everybody... And these are not people with delicate sensibilities. It made everyone go, ugh.
At the premiere party, Adam, which you couldn't come to, we had a dominatrix come up and whip me and Matt, because it was Yom Kippur.
Dude, I want to party with you.
And as to atone for our sins, we had all the actors come up and say their lines, and then for each line, we got whipped. You weren't there, so my mom had to be Spanky Ham and actually recite your line while I was getting... What line was coming up?
Nothing reminds me of my first time like a chick crying. It's a great line.
Yeah. So my mom had to say that while we got whipped by this crazy dominatrix. You guys would have liked it. Teresa, you would have liked it.
Total lack of boundaries.
I
didn't
know where we can go.
We have another Matt on the phone who wants to praise Drawn Together. Matt?
Yeah, I love the show, guys. I watch it every week now.
I'm in the show, and Matt and Dave produce it and created it. But you, as just a viewer, give us your honest impression of Drawn Together.
You're right. It's like sometimes I just can't believe what you guys are putting into that show, and it's so shocking. It's funny.
If Comedy Central knew it was on the air, it would pull it immediately. I've said that many times.
There was that episode with the gay Terminator that was coming after Waldor.
Yeah.
And there's just this one scene that I fell out of my chair laughing when Captain Hero goes, activate Hero Shield, and then he just pulls this woman in front of him and she just gets riddled with
That's how it does.
Oh, Matt, you're the best. Thank
well,
you.
Well, Matt, you watch tonight.
You might have emailed us.
Would
right?
you like more people to email?
Yes.
Do you want to give out your email address?
Sure. If anyone wants to email who's a fan of the show, I'm at Dove Jesser at Hotmail. DoveJesser at Hotmail. Please tell us you like the show or hate the show. We just want people to pay attention.
Drawn Together, 4th season, Thursdays, 10:30, Comedy Central.
Oh, tonight, great episode tonight. Cereal Box, guys, it's awesome.
It's a great episode.
It's so good.
And I'll be in it and watching myself. Dave, Matt,
thank you guys so much. You guys are really awesome. And we love this show, too.
Thank you, guys.
I really do.
We'll take a quick break. T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl. What's in it?
Big news about Britney and her kids.
Good times. We'll do that next.
Definitely not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Elyria, Ohio. A 45-year-old man attempted to steal a customer's wallet at a convenience store. When he was caught, he began attacking the customer by removing and swinging his prosthetic leg. Definitely not a Jew.
T-Bone.
Yeah?
Ready to do the news, baby?
Sure.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
According to TMZ, Britney Spears has had her visitation rights with her kids suspended until she complies with all court orders. The order by L.A. County Commissioner Gordon came after KFED's lawyer went to court yesterday for an emergency hearing. Now, the order reads, petitioner, that's Brittany's visitation with the minor children, is suspended pending petitioner's compliance with the court orders. Here is here's what TMZ is saying, that Brittany did not provide the drug testing people with contact information so that they could reach her to facilitate the random drug tests.
You want to know what's going on?
Please tell us.
In life, I mean, with all these celebrities, Ellen, Brittany, whoever, you hear about this all the time. People don't have driver's licenses. They didn't read the fine print. They didn't know. We've talked about it before. When you become a celebrity, you get busy and you just farm everything out to somebody else. And there comes a point where you stop filling out things, you stop signing things, you just have people who do almost everything. And you could get a thing in the mail that says, fill this out and send it back, otherwise we will take your house and your kids away, and you just throw it at somebody and keep talking on your cell phone. She needs an in-between person, somewhere in between an accountant and a personal whatever. Because once in a while, there are things that fall in between the cracks. You have your personal trainer, you have your accountant, you have your publicist, you have your lawyer. But then, whose job is it to fill out the paperwork for the DMV
so you can
get your license? You need a, and then your personal assistant, well, they're just in charge of your calendar. You really need a personal den mom, Mrs. Garrett from the Facts of Life.
Remember I told you I wanted to hire a mom.
Yes, yeah. That's what you need. You need some woman, postmenopausal, pudgy chick with her hair in a bun going, when are you going to finish filling out that? No, I can't fill it out for you. All right, I'll fill it out. No, you sign it, and I'm going to pin it to you along with your mittens and send you off to school, the Scooby-Doo lunch pail. These people need something, because the problem with the assistant is the assistant is just an extension of you. They do what you want to do. You go pick up my car, go get my dry cleaning. But they never go, hey, what's up with the DMV, bitch?
Right.
We need to fill this stuff out or you're going to get your kids taken away. They need a sort of wrangler, life coach, Mrs. Garrett, den mom, Danny's mom.
Having not lived that lifestyle, it's amazing that you're that intuitive.
I can feel it.
When I was doing the Partridge Family, and it was the biggest show in the country, well, of course, everybody did everything for me. Nobody, you know, nobody asked me to do anything. And then that carried on into where the money ran out, around 18. About 19, I was homeless, and there's not a lot to accomplish when you're homeless. When I was 30 and got back into radio and started to make money, I realized I don't know how to do anything.
Crapping indoors is probably about the greatest thing you can do when you're homeless.
That's totally true.
That's the number one thing you think about when you wake up in the morning, and the last thing you think about before you fall asleep in the back of your BMW 3 Series.
2002.
Oh, really?
That's 1972, 2002.
Wow, it was even before the 3 Series came out.
Yeah.
What you're saying is, for Britney Spears, it might not be that the difficulty is staying off drugs, but the difficulty is dealing with the bureaucracy that lets people know how the drug tester can get in touch with her.
Yes, it's all the little details that, again, it's like once in a while you watch a baseball game and a ball is hit right between the right fielder and the center fielder, and they both just look at it and watch it drop, and they go, I thought that was your ball. And the other guy goes, nah, that's your ball. This lands in between the center fielder and the right fielder. It's not the publicist's job. It's not the lawyer's job. It's not the personal assistant's job. There needs to be a catch-all person, and I say that person is Mrs. Garrett from the Facts of Life.
I know. Is she still with us?
Yeah.
Charlotte Ray?
Yeah, she's around.
Martha Ray's dead.
Big Mouth is dead, Hair Buns is still alive, and it would easily work for Brittany for, I'm sure, just some saltines.
Now, we talked earlier about Joe Francis, but we did not hear all of his interview, and we must. He's the guy that created Girls Gone Wild. He's locked up in a Nevada jail awaiting trial on tax evasion. If he was not in that jail, he'd probably be in jail in Florida, where he's facing 6 felony counts of prostitution, conspiracy, and using minors in a sexual performance. Now, he talked to Greta Van Susteren about his time in jail. Let's take a listen.
They would walk me. This is walking me to the shower. Down the hall, and the inmates were mocking me on both sides, you know, and scream at me, and they weren't in these conditions, and you know, I'd just be crying, and I fell again, and they came and they picked me up, and it was the chaplain. He had been walking in the hallway, and he looks at me, the chaplain of the thing, and he says, son, have you thought about Jesus Christ? And I'm crying, and I look at him, and I go, every day, because this is what they did to him.
Sure.
A martyr for the cause.
Yeah.
Joe Francis continues.
I'm like, I haven't done anything. I mean, these people are just getting off and destroying my life.
Right.
You know, it's sick. I can't believe it can happen. It's happening in the United States. I sit in a cell every night. I wake up and I scream.
He wakes up and I scream?
And I just, like, remind myself, I'm like, we're in this country.
Yeah, anyway, locking up honest pornographers. I can't believe it. Here's the thing. Joe Francis, you did nothing. Paying your taxes is something. You see, that's the problem. You did nothing.
That's how they got Capone.
You sold a bunch of Girls Gone Wild cassettes. They gave you a bunch of money, and you did nothing. That doesn't mean nothing wrong.
No. Nope.
That means not paying the man. And they take it very seriously.
Yes, they do.
Now, as far as the guys making fun of him, well, that's got to happen.
Yeah.
What do you think his time is really like in prison?
Not good. And as we always talk about, everything is relative. And most of those guys in the joint with him come from where? Broken families, living in crappy tenement slums, you know what I mean? Assisted government housing, blah, blah, blah. I mean, where they're coming from to prison, not a big drop off. For a lot of guys, a lateral move. I mean, at least you're getting hot meals and there's a warm shower. For Joe, he left an island where he was banging away with a bunch of 19-year-olds with Kid Rock, and he got off his private plane and went to the dungeon.
Right.
That sucks.
Precipitous drop in quality of life.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
All right, well, I have some more news, but I think we have to take a break. Do it when we come back.
I got to tell you, I swear, I told you that I have that kid's toy that plays the Girls Gone Wild song. And I have a Pavlovian response to it. I hadn't heard it in like 3 months. And the thing fired up the other day when I was in the next room. And I just heard that. The music they play, it's a little faster than this on the commercial. It's the music they play at the beginning. Girls, college girls, gone wild. It's so beach scenes and whatever. I just immediately became Tumescent. That's right.
Wow. I think there's something so mean about the Girls Gone Wild, and I think it's showing me another side of my young, sweet, innocent girlfriend that I'm not too sure about. We're in the porno store. We're at the Hustler store because they asked me to come there. And I've got chicks doing this and guys doing that and all sorts of regular, normal porn. And she goes, let's get this Girl Gone Wild. And I said, there's no real sex in it. She goes, I know. I just want to watch girls at spring break do stuff they'll regret for the rest of their lives. That's a mean bitch.
I like that.
I know, a little aim.
We need to take a break. T, when we come back, rest of the news, you're going to do that one where the parrot saves the guy's life?
It's a great story.
I do, too. I love that story and have many thoughts on it. We'll do that one and the rest of the news next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
T-Bone.
Yep.
Let me say this before we get back to the news. If you want to go to adamcarolla.com and submit a picture of yourself, if you're short and you're redheaded, or if you want to do a little audio submission to adamcarolla.com, if you're a big laugher, I've said this. I want some guy laughing it up. I want a guy with a big head. Hey, if you have a big head and you can laugh, I'll take you too.
We're going to have a big-headed, big-nosed, short redhead. I mean, the likelihood is not good, but what if?
That makes you the Swiss Army knife of listeners, and we will see you at the Playboy Mansion on the 25th.
Nice.
All right, so go to adamcarolla.com, submit whatever you need to submit. We'll vote on it, and we'll pick a winner tomorrow. T?
Yes.
The rest of the news.
59-year-old Dennis Baker of Dallas, Texas, runs a locksmith business out of his house. In the past month, his property has been robbed 4 times.
Dennis Baker, the key maker?
Yes. He is a locksmith.
That's great.
The thieves broke in and have taken about $20,000 worth of locksmith gear, saws, and lawn gear. Now, a locksmith being robbed four times, it's not great publicity, but that's not the point of this story.
Yeah.
Early Tuesday morning, he finally caught the guy who's been robbing him, and it's all thanks to his guard parrot. Dennis owns a Mexican redheaded parrot.
And we got one, too.
His is named Salvador.
Oh. Not great talkers.
And whenever Salvador sees someone, he says hello. So around 2 a.m. on Tuesday morning, Salvador saw someone walk past the window, and he started squawking, hello. That woke Dennis up, and he went outside to find 46-year-old John Woodson robbing his garage. Then what happened? Dennis
shot him dead.
Shot him dead.
That's right.
According to police, he was completely within his rights to shoot the man, but based on their procedure, turn the facts over to a grand jury for review.
But this is in Texas, right?
That's right.
Right.
You're cool.
Because the only crime in Texas is when you shoot a guy's robbing you. They don't care that the guy's dead, but they're like, hey, we wanted to shoot him.
Right.
That's
come on,
why
man.
Angry.
Let us try him and fry him. Why do you get to have all the fun? Yeah, the story was weird. He said he'd been robbed five times in a month. And at some point, don't you just break down, go down to the Radio Shack and get yourself an alarm?
Yeah, I would.
Well, he got a parrot.
Yeah, but the parrot was just, that was just sort of serendipity, which is a word you never hear parrots say. But the parrot was just, that's a beakful for a parrot. But the parrot just happened to see the guy go by. But if you're in the security business, you do locksmithing, and you've been robbed five times in the last month, at a certain point, don't you just get yourself an alarm system?
That's what I do.
Have you ever been robbed?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. As a kid, our houses were robbed a number of times. Boy, would they show up to the wrong place.
Yeah. What'd they get? Like a fork from the Salvation Army?
Well, they had their choice. I mean, it was really, they could have got the sofa that somebody had left out on the curb that my mom dragged into the house and put a sheet over. Or they could have got the urine jar specimen container that my sister had been drinking out of. Or maybe you wanted some generic toothpaste. I mean, it was all there for the taking at the Corolla household.
Bounty.
Whether it was crappy old furniture stuffed with horse hair or mugs that had been taken away from people that died 10 years earlier and were bought at a thrift shop. All there. No keepsakes, no jewelry, no cash, no problem. Come on in. As a matter of fact, I don't even know why we bothered having doors on our house. It was the valley. It was warm all the time. People should have just been able to come and go as they please. They robbed the house. I was too young to even ask what they stole, but we didn't have anything.
Do you remember, you know, being scared? Were you home at the time?
Yeah, I remember being kind of freaked out. I remember like someone left a Coke bottle behind and they kind of messed things up. It's kind of weird.
I got robbed. I don't how people say they felt violated.
Yeah.
I just think, punk. I felt violated. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's weird.
But there was a long story too. They were in my house a long time and Gretchen and I were home.
Ew.
Now that's weird.
We were in a one bedroom loft.
That's weird when you're home. Yeah. But you have two dogs.
I didn't. Then I had one dog, and this is what made me mad. I had a Great Dane named Max, the coolest dog. And in court, because they caught these people, the girl testified that she sat on my couch and played with my dog while he searched my house for valuables and then found the car keys and took my car.
Were they high?
I don't know. I don't know.
To break into the house while people are home seems like something a junkie does.
Yeah, this is
especially
very
in a loft, because my bedroom was just over the living room. There were no doors to it. Mm-hmm. If I'd have just stood up, I'd have seen them.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, it was really common where I grew up in Noe Valley in San Francisco. There were just tons of burglaries in my neighborhood. I don't know why, but our house was broken into twice while we were home, and the guy came into my bedroom. I had a little bunny, furry bunny piggy bank, and he took the piggy bank.
While you were asleep?
Yes! I'm still scared of the dark.
Yeah, I'm wondering, maybe I just live in a better neighborhood, but I think that everything being so cheap and so plentiful now has slowed this down. Remember when cars used to get broken into all the time? Because car stereos cost $500 and they would rip them off. Now you can get a digital stereo with a CD player and an XM radio built into it for $69 over at the Radio Shack. And there's nothing. I mean, there's no VCR. There's no DVD player. There's no television set. Nothing's worth anything anymore because you can get it brand new at Target for way less than it would be worth for you to break into my house.
Right,
I mean,
by the time they break into your house, they get one hit of crack for it. That guy that get you one hit of crack for it tries to get $20 for it. And by that time, you're up to retail price and you've dealt with criminals all day.
Yeah. Stuff used to be worth something. Now it's cheap, and it stopped people from breaking in as much, I imagine. Sorry, T. Go ahead.
Google has come out with a study. They're reporting information about which words are searched the most in which countries.
Mm-hmm. Bobby!
Some of them are fairly obvious. Mm-hmm. Here are some words and phrases and the countries that Googled them the most. Hangover, what would you guess?
Interesting.
What country would I guess?
The country, yeah.
Which country Googles the word hangover?
Well, you think Ireland and Scotland and places where they do some booze. And on the other hand, we have so many more people than they have. Maybe
stuff out.
And then you think, well, Soviet Union. Now they got a lot of people and they got a lot of hanging over to do. But I don't know if they have a lot of computers.
I'm gonna go with Spain.
Hangover is Googled the most in Ireland. That was your first thought.
Nice.
And the U.S. and the U.K. How about the word gay?
Let's see.
Some Arab country.
Iran.
The island of lesbian.
Chile.
It's actually Lesbos.
Chile?
Chile actually came in second behind the Philippines. Botox?
Where's Botox? What country is Botox? Now, I just feel like I want to say the United States for almost everything. I'll say the United... Oh, no, wait. Maybe we'll go to...
Rio?
Maybe like Rio de Janeiro, yeah.
Yeah, plastic surgery is very common there, but Botox is Googled the most here in the United States, in Australia, and the U.K.
It's a whitey thing.
Yeah, it is a white thing.
How about this? Brothel.
Botox is a black thing, but Botox is a white thing.
I never... Google brothel.
Brothel.
Because I can just give you directions off it. I'm like the map quest
of
brothels.
I'm going Germany.
Russia.
Makes sense.
Also popular search in Russia, S&M.
I guess you could learn a lot about a country just like you could learn a lot about a roommate just by checking the history.
Yeah, there's things you don't know and you don't want to know. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser, UCNN.
We got a really cool guest coming up. He's a 91-year-old man. He has Hitler's globe. I have seen pictures of this guy standing in Hitler's palace. He's hanging around. He was one of the first guys to get to Hitler's palace, and he
was on Eagle's Nest.
I don't think it was the Eagle's Nest, but we can. I can check into that during the break. Either way, he was at Hitler's pad, not socially. You know, wasn't invited over to Hitler's place. He's one of us. Right. He's one of the good ones.
Hitler was a child once.
He was, as we learned from Teresa Strasser some days ago. He went over there and he took himself a few keepsakes. He got some items. One of them is Hitler's globe. And he's going to auction it off. So this guy in 1944, ends up over at Hitler's place, one of the first guys to go in there. I want to know what that was like.
I don't know what that was like, too, because you've also got to think of it every time you look at it, as Hitler wanted his globe to be actual size when he was...
That's a good point.
He wanted it to be 25,000 miles around in circumference.
Yeah.
So he's got the mock-up.
Yep, May 1945, along with a few men, he went in there. He got pistols, daggers, and Hitler's globe. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to the 91-year-old known as John Barsamian next.
This is William Shatner on the Adam Carolla Show, 866-901-ADAM.
Don't bother calling. I got someone more important than you on the line. John Barsamian, 91 years old, one of the Marines that advanced into Nazi territory after the Normandy invasion, went to Hitler's house. He didn't knock. He kicked in the door.
Didn't knock.
Then he grabbed Hitler's globe, some pistols, and some daggers, and he came back stateside, and he never spoke about it again. Didn't brag about it. Didn't do anything about it. He's 91 years old. He's putting the globe up for auction. John?
Yes, I'm on the phone.
Great to speak to you. My name's Adam. That's Danny and Teresa.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm familiar with you gentlemen.
Well, thank you. Now, how do you verify that this was Hitler's globe? If it's going up for auction, and it is November 13th at an auction house in San Francisco, how do you verify it?
Well, because I was in his house that had been bombed. And there was very little left except some furniture where the leather had been ripped off, and they had damaged the fireplace, and there were guards outside the 101st Airborne Division, and they were protecting that what was left over.
Now you were a Marine and part of the Normandy invasion.
I was the Assistant Inspector General. I was a Chief Warrant Officer. I've been in the Army for 4 years and 2 months, and I didn't just go in there now and take a map and flip out.
Mm-hmm.
I had been through the Battle of Normandy, Northern France, Central Europe, Rhineland, and the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow.
And there's five major campaigns that the Corps was in. I came there from Salzburg, Austria. That was our we had just arrived in that area.
Now where was Hitler's house, or at least this house of Hitler's?
Well, there was a whole complex. You'd have to look at. I have made photographs and I have charts and I have location of his home with relation to some of the other. Big shots in the Nazi party, but they all lived in that particular area together. If you were here, I could show it to you.
And you're in Germany at this point.
That's correct.
And Hitler, as far as the decor goes, garish, tasteful. How was his taste in design?
Well, there wasn't much left. I say the only thing was some sofas that had been ripped. The leather had been ripped off of them.
Mm-hmm.
They had, with their butts of their rifle, the soldiers had damaged the fireplace. And the only piece of livable furniture was a table nearby, and the map was on that table.
You got the globe, so the globe was somehow unharmed after all the bombing and all the vandalism.
Well, it's surprising. I understand there's some damage on the very little damage. That's
mm-hmm.
correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much do you think this will fetch at auction? I mean, there's not a whole lot to compare it to, is there?
Well, no, I have no idea. I'll leave that up to the experts.
I'll give you $80 for it today.
Yeah, well, you
85.
You can wait standing on your head.
Wow, I didn't see that one coming.
That's how old people tell you to F off.
Right.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Hey, John, first off, wow, what an experience going through the Battle of the Bulge, going through Normandy, going through...
I would put a full field pack coming from England, and I had to go over the side of the ship with my rifle and a field pack going down the ladder.
Climbing down the cargo net into the Higgins craft?
Into the CTs.
Mm-hmm. The transport, the amphibious transports, yes?
Yes. Yeah, so there was a lot that went on prior to the time, as I say. Was it
bizarre being in Hitler's house?
I don't know about the word bizarre, but I certainly was awed by the fact that here I am in the house of this son of a gun that had killed everybody. And earlier, I had been in Dachau concentration camp, where I saw a boxcar full of dead bodies, where some of the bodies were alive underneath there, the dead ones on top of them.
Yeah, look, Jesus. I've said many times we should bomb Germany again. And everyone says, oh, please. And I say, oh, please, go to a Holocaust museum and then tell me if you don't leave crying and agree with me. what we did to them is not enough for what they did.
Yeah, well, they did a lot of terrible things, and especially the people with joining Hitler.
Yes. And everyone does that thing where it's like, oh, one madman. We have madmen, too. We don't buy into their crazy rhetoric. We got a guy named Charlie Manson. He's in jail. He's not the president.
Absolutely.
Yes, those people should be bombed again for what they did. Of course they should be. Whatever they got, and they got some, they did not get enough. Especially if we didn't succeed, because their plans for us would not be, hey, how about you guys rebuild and start exporting some quality automobiles? That would not be their plan for us. Thank God guys like John got in there and put an end to that nonsense.
Well, it's unfortunate that we're fighting a war now, and here we went and fought a war for democracy, and what happened?
Yeah, but
we're back in a war.
Yeah, but you see, you got the greatest war of all.
Well, you're not kidding.
No baggage, no pesky CNN reporters wanting to know what you're doing to that village. You just went in there and kicked some ass, got Hitler snow globe, and took off. I know it's a regular globe, but I went Hitler snow globe.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, John?
Yeah, yes, sir.
I hope you make a ton of money selling Hitler's globe and his pistol and his daggers. And when you do make the money, what do you do with it?
I'm going to give a lot of it to charity. You believe me. And you know, especially what bothers me, when I see these people raise money and there's some of these kids with that the problem with their nose and their mouth, and I'm going to put a lot of money into this.
I got to fix those kids.
That's right.
Operation Smile?
By Cracky. John John Barsamian, you're a true hero. Great to speak to you.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to speak with everyone there.
Thank you.
John?
91 years old and over the phone.
Yeah.
That's sharper than a lot of the celebrities we have call in. Really? November 13th at the Greg Martin Auction House in San Francisco. Hitler's Globe. I'm bidding on Stalin's hamper, but if I have anything left, I'm going on Hitler's Globe. We'll take a quick break. Be back to wrap it up. Well, it's the theme from Cavemen. I want to thank some friends of the show. Chelsea Handler is going to be at the Brea Improv tomorrow night. Also at the Comedy Festival in Vegas, Caesar's Palace. That's not till November 16th. The show you need to watch, Drawn Together, tonight, 10:30, Comedy Central. You watch it, and if you have a problem, you call me tomorrow. If it's not the funniest, most bizarre, sickest, I can't believe they can do that on TV show you've ever seen, then you call me tomorrow, and we are going to fist fight in the alley. 10:30, Comedy Central, Drawn Together. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. I'm not a big fan of Bush.